Hello, and welcome to the Scotchcast Game of the Year 2015 for the year of 2015. Joining me today is Nubarama.
Hello. Hi.
Thurbleton.
Hello.
Squirtle.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
And returning guest, Shinboy63.
All right, let's talk about MLS Cup.
Okay, let's go.
What's Major League Soccer.
What is TFC?
TFC.
No.
It's TFC.
Mine, and Thurbleton's Portland Timbers just won MLS Cup 2015
against
Columbus Crew.
Played at
Columbus Crew.
Yes, that was the weird thing. Is there was no like neutral party to host the arena.
Wow. It's funny because. My team at work is split between where I'm at in Jersey City and Columbus, and I wanted to go to this game, the final, and I was trying to think, like, man, I need to drum up some sort of excuse to get my boss to send me to Columbus so I can sneak and go to the game. So I come back to work. I work from home like the 2 days afterwards, come back to work this past Wednesday, and I'm on a conference call with my boss, and he's like, so how'd you like to go to Columbus? I was just like, God damn it, you couldn't have done it like a week earlier.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good time. Thurs been trying to get me a scarf, but they've been hard to come by.
So, how this is going to work is half the list for this year's topics are going to be done this week.
You are aggressive. You are aggressive this evening.
I'm sorry. We're starting like 3 hours late. Mostly my fault.
For fake sport leagues, only so much room.
Yeah, fake sports don't count for anything. So, yeah.
No esports category this year.
No esports. No, not at all. No, definitely. Damn. Do you see an esports category? No. All right. So we got a list of topics, and we got a list of games, neither of which are exhaustive. Half the topics we're going to do next week, and Duren hopefully will join us with that. So things like Game of the Year, so on and so forth, will be next week. But we have some big topics this week. We're going to start with, because let's just fucking get into it, worst trend of 2015.
Pessimism.
Woo! Let's start on a high note, guys. Yeah, worst trend.
Here we go.
All right. Some of these are mine. I'm gonna read out what the current list is. If you want to add to it or subtract from it, just say it out loud when I'm finished. So, nominees for worst trend of 2015. Let me one. Open world games. Expensive season passes. Bad console ports. Mobification. misleading marketing, so Final Fantasy VII and others. Bad PC ports. Delays. And crowdfunding. That's the current list.
Could I just say, like, half of these are not worst trends that started this year, and the other half I don't think are trends.
Like, I don't think bad PC ports or bad console ports should really be, like, PC ports, year. Like, yeah.
I think
been
for a
good,
long time,
except for, like,
yeah.
Batman.
Yeah, well, Batman is, like, the, yeah.
What and is, it's what not is the console's examples? Fault
like,
that they're
Batman
kind of
was fucking shocking.
Batman was the only example. Like, Grand Theft Auto V, which came out this year, was an excellent PC port.
Actually, you're right. Super so let's just strike that. Let's
especially strike considering it. How shit all of Rockstar's PC ports have been, that was a very well-optimized game, for example.
They had enough time to do something with it.
Yeah, I was under the impression that, especially with Ubisoft and stuff, that for a long time PC ports were good, but suddenly they started getting bad again.
Well, the problem with Ubisoft is they have to slap on Uplay on all of their products, and that automatically makes all of their games awful.
Yes, that's true.
But that's like, not a port problem. That's more, let's use this to sell our shitty storefront.
Right, because Mortal Kombat, what was Street Fighter? Street Fighter was broken, and then... what's his face? Batman was broken. That's pretty much it, right?
Street Fighter 5? Because that was broken everywhere.
Yeah, but I think it was especially broken. I think the online was especially broken for PC. Yeah,
Did Street Fighter 5 actually come out? Not 5, 4.
There was a 4 Ultra Edition or something. Some one of the editions was this year. That I've listed because it doesn't matter for anything. All right, so we'll strike that. So let's see. Things that should... Let's just go through one at a time. Do you think we should stay on this list? Open world games. Should that be in this list?
Yes. Is it a worst trend?
Is it a trend that's happening starting this year? It's always
yes,
been a trend.
So. No, but like people, like things that were not open world going open world is definitely a trend this year.
This year,
like Metal Gear.
I mean, like can we
Metal
roll
Gear
off
is the example? That's it.
The Witcher.
The Witcher has 2 isn't. Been
the Witcher 2 is not
fairly open. The Witcher 1
is not
open.
Not nearly to the extent of
3. Yeah, not yeah.
Yeah, Witcher 2
well,
is much
more like a realization of what they originally wanted to create more than.
Doesn't matter. It came out this year.
No. I mean, like, The Witcher 3 is what they've always been trying to do, like, in the sense of creating an open world.
I don't think the problem is that open world games this year have been bad, because a lot of them have been excellent. The problem was that almost every game that came out this year was, like, a big game.
And, like, Zelda was announced to be open world.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so that stays. Expensive season passes. The only one I can think of is Battlefront. That's what I put on here, but I remember that being others.
$40 for Siege as well. And all that gives you is, like, 7-day early access to the characters, no extra maps. But again, that's like a staple of gaming now.
It's getting worse. It is clearly getting worse.
We need to put on this list like pre-orders.
Pre-order
bonuses.
Pre-order bonuses. Pre-order
augmenting your pre-order.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we do have augmenting the pre-order.
Yeah, but pre-order bonuses have been getting worse.
Always. Have they been getting worse other than this augment your pre-order?
Well, I mean, it's you know, GameStop has this, Target has this, Walmart has this one, and
Steam
it's like,
has this.
Yeah,
PlayStation like has this.
A lot of the bad trends are not necessarily new to this year, like things being broken, pre-order bonuses, like all that started last year or the year before.
Hmm.
Yep.
This year has a lot of shitty trends, but none that belong to this year.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Whoever just put survival games.
That
would be me.
That was dope.
Yes, if we can fuse open world and survival game, those things need to stop.
Yes, they do.
Is the thing that we don't like is the two of them coming together in such a way?
No one's made a good survival game that I know of. Like, all of them are indie survival games that end up being shit. Because
we just
the
like
entire,
shift that and make it more specific and be like survival games never leaving early access.
Yes.
I mean, like it. In all seriousness, I'm okay with early access, open world survival games being the worst trends.
Yeah, just the word trends.
Let's just crown it now.
Because I mean, that's also misleading marketing.
I need to say
it's also sort of weird pre-order bonuses because like you're pre-ordering it and playing this broken mess.
I think misleading marketing is my personal pick, but that's because it started with something like Bloodborne with the frame rate and so on and so forth. No, that was Dark Souls 2, wasn't it? Dark Souls 2. That was way better in the pre-release footage than it was in the final footage.
That was last year. The game came out last year.
Yeah, exactly, last year. But this year it was Witcher, which was better looking in pre-release than final. And then you had...
That is not nearly the level of Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, I think the biggest examples have been a lot of these Japanese games, and especially fucking Final Fantasy VII, which was I'm happy that at least only 6 months after its announcement that it's going to be a multi-part series, but the fact that they led us to believe up to this point that it wasn't going to be a multi-part series and then told to break they chose to break it to us now is kind of bullshit.
Also,
Persona, every time saying it's going to be out in the next 6 months. For the last 3 years, Persona has been saying it's going to be out in the next 6 months. That's garbage.
You could include a Broken Age into that category.
I kind of want to add to worst trend, just :// a Telltale game series.
What is it? Batman.
I will veto that.
So no, only because
they're not going to veto this.
They have a clear A team and a B team. Their B team is terrible.
Their B team. They have a B team for sure. Yeah. Yep.
And they may even have a C team.
Their B team is tie-ins for popular television. Their A team.
No, everyone would have thought that Borderlands was their B team, but it turned out to be. We have no idea who's working on what at Telltale. Yeah. Yeah, we have no idea who's working on what. And that's the worst thing. That there's no guarantee of quality.
It's almost like Telltale is becoming the new point and click adventure style.
They're becoming Sierra,
They're becoming Sierra, and everything that comes out, like a movie, has to have a Telltale tie-in. Even a game now has to have a Telltale tie-in.
Dumb. Batman doesn't need
Sierra.
A Telltale tie-in.
You chose Sierra, not LucasArts.
Yeah, also, I don't know if it's just it needs to have a Telltale tie-in. It needs to have a video game tie-in. Like, for example, Payday 2 has a bunch of new map heist things that are all themed after the movie Point Break.
Point Break. Yeah.
Coming soon to Payday 2, a Telltale game series.
it could happen.
That's a good nominee. I think we've got our list. I think we've got nominees being X, a Telltale game series, and open world survival indie games that never leave.
I want to go with that one just because I love how nightmarishly specific it is.
Yep, and
yet it covers hundreds of games.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, and I think any of those I'm pretty happy with. What was the third one? And early access being what was the third? There was a third.
I'm trying to write these down.
Like misleading marketing, was that it?
Because I don't see them listed.
Misleading marketing, Telltale Game series, and open world. Yeah, that's it. So that's the three. There's the three nominees: misleading marketing, Telltale Game series, and open world survival games. Open world survival games.
That never leave early access.
Yeah.
I love how specific that is.
Yeah, yeah, I love the third one. It's just too fun. It's just too good. It's too good to not win. All right. Worst trend of 2015 is indie open world survival games that never leave early access.
What a nightmare.
That's great. All right. Second category this week is most infuriating business decision of the year. So we got a couple. This year's been pretty good for bad business decisions, if that's what you're into. I'm just going to list these off like I did last time. Releasing Batman for PC. Times Oculus cover. Augment your pre-order. Double Fine in general. Atlas press events. And Konami. All of it. is as stated on the list.
I mean, we might as well just like highlight Konami all of it right now.
Okay, yeah, that's a nominee. That has to be a nominee. So let's just give some context. Releasing Batman on PC. That was essentially what we're saying here is the business decision. The men in suits who had the goal to say, yes, that broken ass piece of shit port was okay to be released for PC at launch. I understand that it had some patches since then, but is still not totally entirely like fixed. That's just poor. Like Warner Brothers hasn't really instilled much in the way of confidence outside of
Shadow of Mordor.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was a fucking shit call.
Was the Shadow of Mordor team different than the Batman team, or was it the same team?
I would assume it's different because Shadow Mordor was an excellent game in terms of how
port.
It ran.
Good PC on port, PC, as well. Yeah.
As somebody who played it on PC, yeah.
No, I.
Was Shadow Mordor Rocksteady? I don't think it was Rocksteady, was it? I don't think it was.
I don't know.
I'll bring it up. I have it installed. Does it say on the Steam page?
It is developed by Monolith.
Monolith. All right. So yeah, different developer.
Okay.
And they were probably working on another Shadow Mordor. If I was to guess. But yeah, so that's bad. Times Oculus cover. So people don't remember, the budding VR juggernaut was chosen to be advertised this year. And this is partially the idea of the man himself, Palmer Luckey, with a fantastic cover on Times. With him.
That was actually a good business decision, getting that cover. It's just a bad picture.
Yeah, it was a bad picture. I think the business decision is the picture he, like, signed off on, goes, yes, that's what VR is supposed to be. It's like him floating on a beach with
that's
no
a really
shoes.
Bad way to sell your product.
Yeah,
I mean, at some point they're gonna have that mural, and I can't think of the name of it, where you have, you know, man or touching or Adam touching Jesus's finger the cathedral, you know, and it, like Palmer Luckey touching a virtual reality god of some sort.
That's kind of what I got. Just a normal dude on a couch with the VR goggles on, just like reaching in his direction.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was poor. I'm happy to strike that off just because it's not that big a deal. Let's just do that now. Augment your pre-order.
That was pulled pretty quickly.
Yeah,
I think wasn't it? I mean, that was.
I mean, it was, and it was like it's. Yeah, it was pulled quickly after the swell, but even then, just like it's the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of the trying to find any way to.
I think it's a cool idea. I think the idea of it was well thought. Mannered. I don't think it's in the way that it's kind of cool if you get so many people that will pre-order, everybody gets these awesome bonuses.
No, that's terrible. That's a nightmarish dystopian future.
Okay, but let's say they didn't advertise it, but at the day of release, like they say, everybody, we're augmenting pre-orders and like this is what you get now because we had so many people, like without telling them to go out and pre-order, but because of the pre-orders, you've augmented the pre-order.
Pre-orders are the worst, and pre-order tactics are just as bad.
I thought it was a good different way of doing it, but maybe just did not come across.
It was just slimy. Like, yeah. I think half of it was just the voiceover. Like, that voiceover was almost like programmed to make you angry. Because you see, like, it was a video, and just to give people context, it's a video which was promoting Deus Ex, like not Human Revolution, but whatever the next one is, Mankind Divided. Regarding like if more and more people pre-ordered, it would unlock more and more bonuses for everyone, right?
It's kind of like the thing of it's a way to try and solve the issue of people looking at pre-orders. So like if I want to get X, Y, and Z, but X is only sold through GameStop, Y is only sold on the online store, and Z is only sold through Walmart, I can't get all those unless I spend $120. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we can try and do this thing instead.
Yeah.
It seemed well-intentioned, but it was just horribly executed.
Yeah, it was just badly executed. Like, half of it was just how, like, fake excited the woman on the VO was about the ultimate prize being getting the game 4 days earlier, where the fuck it was. And this is before the game got delayed, which is even more hilarious. But anyway, I think
I will say I have the original game, Deus Ex, not the original, but the previous one.
Yeah,
I have the coat in my closet that I bought from.
That's a sick
from my company.
It's a nice coat
because it looked badass, but I could never wear it because I'm too fat. So it's like it's just there.
Well, so what you're saying is they should have had a
$150
special edition which came with a coat, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, I mean that.
Yeah,
I'm okay with special editions that come with tchotchkes that I can just throw up on a wall. That's fine.
All right. But I'm hearing enough anger to leave in the list for now. I'm happy to remove Batman, I guess, or leave that Batman. So we're leaving Batman.
No, get rid of it. Yeah, get rid of Batman.
Get rid of Augmented Pre-Order. Are we keeping Augmented Pre-Order?
Augmented Pre-Order.
Well, what is Atlas? Oh, right, Atlas. So I don't know what this is.
Atlas is my baby.
Right? It's the Persona. People who make Persona.
Yep. Atlas.
Okay.
Has started doing these 2 hour long press events with, may I add, 72 hour countdowns to them, within which they reveal absolutely fucking nothing. It's usually like, hey, you have a 72 hour countdown every like hour or two. They have like something like in that are question marks or whatever. That's supposed to be like some kind of like, hey, drumming, like either new info or like a new bit of like art or whatever from the new game. And then it culminates in what's usually a concert. And at the end of the concert, there's supposed to be some news. This year, it was the worst and most egregious example of that, in which the whole event, the old, if you add out all like 90 hours of the event, what we came out with as Persona fans was a couple of screenshots of the, so the names of the characters that have been announced so far, a new trailer that was shown at the start of the countdown for some reason. So maybe that's like a sign of respect to their audience. I don't know. Like maybe, or it was an accident. I can't tell.
15 and then, minutes until Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah. And then at the very end, all we got was this footage we'd already seen, but now with a woman singing over it. The announcement of that 90 hours was the singer of the main fucking song. That's what it was.
I respect your hatred for this, but I feel that it's oddly way too specific for your for your demographic.
For the 8 people who care.
I can't feel you in the infuriating business decision.
Fine. All right, we're striking that off the list. That was garbage. It's my personal vote. Okay. All right, we don't have much left. Double Fine. So who put Double Fine on this list?
Okay, well, the problem with Double Fine, right, is Broken Age came out this year, but this is sort of like a rolling cycle of, like, lack of accountability and transparency, where sort of, like, it goes with somebody put in lowballing crowdfunding goals. It's basically that, where it's like they asked for $3.3 million, And then they're like, we've run out of money, guys. And then throughout the development of the entire game, the game suddenly gets split into two acts with separate releases.
They promised to release act two. No, it happened with Chalice.
I mean, like, that was last year. Like, that was an issue on previous years. And
then it's like, basically, because the game came out this year, like, that I'm putting it in here, but also that they've also they're crowdfunding Psychonauts 2. And sort of the fact that where you have, you know, of course, there's no accountability in sort of a private business. But if you take like a public goal and you're making, you know, people who are paying into it, basically not your investor class, but basically people who have, you know, put a stake in your game, and you have no accountability, no transparency. And it sort of speaks to sort of like this culture of crowdfunding where these business decisions are made completely behind closed doors.
I think it's kind of strange that like you're calling Double Fine out on that, because they're one of the few people who actually are like try to be somewhat transparent. I mean, like,
they've delivered multiple products.
Except not at all. Except the fact that they totally misuse.
They have a document. They have a documentary showing the choices, and they said in the Kickstarter of the original game, like, "Hey, we don't know about this. It's going to be Rocky Road." Many people have called them out on saying, like, "Yes, the decision to scale it up was a bad choice," but like, they went ahead with it. And then with the second Kickstarter, which they started even before Double Fine Adventure was finished, I'm blanking on the name, right? Massive Chalice,
yeah.
They had, like, streams every other week.
Oh, wait, no, I'm not talking about Massive Chalice. I'm talking specifically about Broken Age.
No, but you're talking about Double Fine as a whole.
I did it specifically because Broken Age came
out. Yeah, I think that's a weak argument, personally.
I mean, and then also, like, the thing is with Double Fine's, with Psychonauts, they're asking for $3 million, which is the roughly the same like amount they made off of the first one. But then also they're saying, hey, this is how much we want from crowdfunding. We're also putting in this much money. And so they're saying, like, this game is going to cost a lot of money. It's, and we're asking for people to donate.
Right, but the problem isn't the fact that, you know, they're putting in money, whatever. The problem is you ask for a certain amount of money, and then you're like, we are running out of money. You need to give us more money. And it's a crowdfunding game, right? It's like a crowdfunded game. Like, the expectation is when you put in money into a product that says it will cost this much money as like your goal, and then you run over budget, albeit this happened in, what, 2013. The problem is that it's a bit shady and it's a bit crappy for the people who actually invested that money
I mean, I understand. But when I invested, I knew the game was going to get made at one point or another. And so I was fine with that. And even if they have to go get more money, it's on them to get more money. I still expect the game to get delivered, and it did. It's not like they failed to deliver on the game.
Oh, no. The problem wasn't just the fact that the game – or the problem isn't that, you know, with game delivery. The problem is, like, halfway through the thing, they're like, we ran out of funds. Give us more money.
It happens all the time.
Right. Yeah, but the thing is, it doesn't matter for that, because it's a private business and whatever happens behind there.
Nope. It happens to publicly traded entities all the time.
No, in the sense that – what happens?
I think this is an issue that happens all the time in business that you're getting upset about because of my video games.
The fact that, because it's a crowdfunding goal and it involves the public and people are paying into it, it's a bit crappy when you're not as transparent and accountable.
But you can't be so transparent to know that this exact amount of money is going to get you from point A to point B in such a large scale project.
You should generally have a plan of what you're doing with your large scale project and not go, you know, 25% over budget like that.
Do you not know how projects in the business world work? Because that happens like every day.
No, I totally do. As somebody who's worked in like the public sector, along like with, you know, looking at city projects, they always go over budget, right? But there's a certain level of accountability and transparency. Is all I'm saying is, like, personally for me,
I think this is a interesting point. Yeah, because I didn't like the fact that they wanted to fig Psychonauts 2 as well, but I don't think it holds a candle to Konami or
a second argument. I think Fig is a better platform for what they're doing.
For sure.
A more because honest platform.
Yeah, it's specifically, you know, investors.
I'm removing Double Fine.
My complaint is the whole lowballing thing. So if you look at Double Fine, that's an arduous case because they're kind of walking a line in terms of like 3 million plus two plus all that is like maybe enough. But then you look at like Shenmue, and it's like they were asking $2 million.
They still have a PayPal page up where you can still donate.
Yeah, man. If you missed out on the chance to fucking donate for Shenmue, you can go and donate more for Shenmue.
But then also Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night was asking for $500 million.
Yeah.
And it's, you start looking at these other companies that are like, okay, we're using Kickstarter as a platform to get interest, not to raise money. And right. then they will then use that small amount to then get like funding from other people.
But let's just say we could also maybe put in here kickstarting games at this point, because what is frustrating is when you have a company that says, I only need $3 million to do it, but I have other investors. We're going to invest our own money into it. And you have an indie developer that goes to Kickstarter and say, I need $500 million to get this game going. You know, they're going to go, well, Double Fine didn't need that much. Why do you? Maybe not understanding the entire complexity, and they kind of get screwed over because of it.
Yeah, because a lot of people just sort of use Kickstarter as a way to, you know, show other investors, hey, people are interested.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to make the money to fund the game off of Kickstarter.
Well, so yeah.
It's like a headcount.
And I can understand them wanting to do that, but it also screws over the people who actually want to use Kickstarter and need, like,
I agree.
Exactly. That's what, like, that's what I'm
getting at. Lab Zero is the example I'd like to point to. The people who did Skullgirls.
Right. And that's what I'm getting at is in most infuriating business decision, kickstarting your game, figging your game. I think that could be a solid argument.
That's gross as a verb.
Figging your game.
Figging your game.
Figging the shit out of it. I like that because
we've already spent a ton of time on this. I'm okay. Yeah. Like, I just want it to be one of the top three.
Yeah.
I know Konami's going to win it.
I'm happy with lowballing being on the top three, but paying for mods is kind of fucked up. The way they implemented it.
Yes, the business decision of it. Yeah. Business decision.
Yeah. Like that I think was. But the problem with both paying for mods and augment pre-order is both kind of came then went away. So I don't know.
Right. So they're not really there.
But the thing is, for the foreseeable future, unless Valve or Bethesda decides to roll it into Fallout 4, pay for mods seems like it's not happening. For at least this game. But the way they worded it sounded like it was coming back at some point in some form.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, it
until like it does, I don't think it can be on this list because it's not really a thing yet.
Yeah, it's not a thing yet.
It already happened. Like, the pay for mod option happened, and there was a big outcry.
We're talking about like an infuriating business decision that was done this year.
Let's just say all these can stay because there's no point arguing about what should leave at this point.
Konami wins.
Konami wins.
I think Konami wins. Okay.
Nobody wins.
So in terms of worst business decision of a year, Konami
never be game over.
I like at some point it's so bad that I don't even know where to start to describe it.
Look it up.
Just look it up. Look at all the stories that surround Konami's fucking burning pile of wreckage that they are now. For everything from Hideo Kojima leaving onwards, oh my god, Konami! Like
Before with Hideo Kojima still there, and it's just like, hey, people are releasing like stories that saying this is a like dystopian 1984 place to work.
Yes, with like people being like fucking. Respecialized or whatever you want to call it into like a janitor and shit.
Even when they were being respecialized, they don't have internet access and they're being monitored all the time via camera.
I think it would be interesting if it came out that somehow Kojima was the asshole behind all this in some weird, crazy, alternate way. And he was the one causing all these issues.
That'd be great. If it was all him in the end. Anyway, so Konami wins. All right. So best trend. I like this. This year's been a good year. A lot of these trends are like, hey, this has been a thing that's been happening for a while, but this year marks a specific moment where I think the trend's really taken off. So, for example, big press conferences. We've had big press conferences in the past, but this year has been a year for press conferences of dreams, and that is awesome. And that's not necessarily saying that, best big press conferences of are back is good in and of itself, but big press conferences means in the greater sense of things is that gaming kind of is back in a big way. Like, gaming was down for a long time, like that big uncertainty period where not knowing if the new consoles were like appropriate, like whether they'd fly, like general like sense of, hey, maybe the whole industry is changing towards mobile, maybe the whole industry moving towards free to play, I don't know. But the big press conferences this year reinvigorated what I think the industry as a whole is. Like, it makes me feel like gaming is awesome again. Fucking Final Fantasy VII, Kingdom Hearts 3, like this year's bombs were amazing. I don't think Kingdom Hearts 3 was last year, right? But
Kingdom Hearts 3 was either last year or was the year before. I don't remember.
Yeah, and then Shenmue, and then fucking like it doesn't even matter if it's Kickstarter. Like the fact that all these big things are coming back from the past is a sign that A, Square Enix has run out of ideas, but B, like big games are back in a really cool way.
Mostly that Square Enix is out of ideas.
Mostly the games, yeah. Then, and, but yeah, the other thing, the VR press conferences and stuff. It's been a big year. Short marketing cycles is an awesome one. Fallout is the best release, I think, in video game history.
Forgive me. Explain short marketing cycles.
Fallout 4 was announced this year and came out this year.
Okay, got you.
But
Far Cry Primal was announced very recently and is coming out in a couple months.
Yeah. A couple months. Okay.
Yeah. Like baking the game until it's ready before you show it. Is kind of what this point is.
The antithesis of early access.
Yes, absolutely.
The opposite of whatever CD Projekt is doing with Cyberpunk.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like, I love the idea of, hey, this is coming out in a couple of months. And we've cooked it, and it looks good. There's a lot of fucking there's meat on bones. Like, it is an awesome way to do business that I think Fallout has proven can work, at least for big games.
And I don't want to say that, like, the opposite of this, like, you know, that there are some merits to early access, and, like, Blizzard is a company that it does an amazing job of talking about stuff before it's out, not really giving a crap if they want to cancel it, like Titan and Ghost are excellent examples, but, like, a lot of people are psyched for Overwatch and are playing Overwatch, even though that's not even out yet.
Hmm.
So.
But wasn't Overwatch announced this year as well?
I don't know when it's coming out, but people are playing it.
Like Overwatch was announced this year. Like we knew about Titan, but we didn't know about Overwatch. Overwatch was announced this year and now is playable. Like I love that.
Interesting. Also, like even though I have some other thoughts on this, Guild Wars 2: Heart of Thorns announced this year, came out this year.
Boo! I love it. It's great. Like it's. Okay. I hate having to wait years for games to come out. Persona fucking 5. Like I'm looking at you. You assholes.
Cyberpunk 2077.
Well, the practical reason for
Firewatch
is for these games is they're big IPs. They get to go, you know, you get to show it. But like for smaller games, you have to build anticipation, you have to build hype, and you have to show things out. Yeah. So I mean, like the question is, can this work for most games that aren't giant and from a big, well-known publisher?
Maybe not, but I think that you can have both. You can have the long drawn-out cycles. Like, as Doubleton said, like it works. You can have the early access followed by whatever, betas followed by whatever. But big games that have short cycles is probably great. Because like Mass Effect Andromeda, I'm already kind of sick of hearing about that game. I just want to play it now. We've heard about it for years and years. And even though it probably won't be as good as any of the other Mass Effects, I still want it now and I'm overhearing about it. Like you,
yeah, but Cynic, how will you know a new Mass Effect isn't coming out if you don't have to hear about it over a period of 2 to 3 years? How will you know? People don't have, you know, the memories that they did before the internet anymore. Everyone has fucking ADHD and
that just lends itself to a shorter marketing cycle.
You're right. So I'm gonna say, let's say fuck Snapchat right now for their causing even more issues with all that. So
all right.
Yep.
Then
I'm gonna add you on Snapchat.
See, online refunds is a great trend.
That was something I would never have. I was never expecting.
Yeah.
An actual, you know, here's a statement. We're going to be back this. We are behind this 100%. That's something I would never have thought.
Which, well, I mean, Valve was late to the party. Right?
Yeah, Valve was definitely late. Other people like GOG, they've been doing it for a while.
Fucking EA, man. God, they were there first. And now Valve is.
I think GOG was there first.
Oh, no. I mean, like compared to Valve.
Okay.
Like it was before fucking Valve.
Man.
God, it took so long.
Then, yeah, but Valve just signing up on board is a big deal. Did anyone else do that this year? Like, did iTunes ever? iTunes is still no refunds.
Well, right? iTunes still does it. They're pretty good. I bought a bunch of stuff, and I said this game does not run, or I didn't like this game, and I get a refund. So they've never really had an issue with that, in my opinion. That's done 3 games I bought that were just absolute crap, and I said this is not good. And they said, hey, here's your money back.
So we're looking at...
I still have the game installed. I still have the game installed. I can still play it technically.
Yeah.
So that's what's even more weird about that whole.
God. Yeah. Can we add, like, in retrospect, the stupid fucking, what was it? The Unreal Tournament guys. What's their names? Epic launcher is that made me so angry when I found out Shadow Complex was a
shareware was
essentially a fucking Trojan horse for the Epic launcher, and they have their own store now. It's fuck. Oh my god. Anyway, I'm a most infuriating business decision in retrospect. Anyway.
Oh wait, whoa. I almost could backtrack on that now that you state that. Every company having to have their own fucking launcher.
No, category's done.
Category's done.
No, it's so
infuriating. But I was
the
like,
seal
last year,
has
probably.
Been forged.
Next year, that's.
And then finally, wait, cinematography.
What's the winner? I don't know what the winner is.
For best last year, for last one, or this
for best
one?
Trend?
We're not done yet.
We're not done yet.
So the last one is my personal pick is cinematography, because I've seen better cinematography this year than I have ever before, in games, Tales from the Borderlands, Life is Strange, and Metal Gear Solid. Have some of the best camera work I've ever seen in a video game. And that comes down to everything, like timing, like angles, the ability for graphics to finally become like to a point where everything kind of looks good nowadays, except for like the really weird like outstanders. Most games look good enough that cinematography actually matters now, because you're no longer just impressed by graphics. It has to look visually appealing in more than one way. And I think this year has been great for that. That's my personal opinion now.
If you want to sort of alter that a bit, because if we're getting down to just the raw like basics of what is cinematography, I'm not a film guy,
right?
But I kind of like the trend of it doesn't really matter if your game has the graphics like powerhouse behind it.
Yes.
It's more about style now, because everything looks good. It's whether your
art
style.
Let's just change it to style.
It's like jazz punk came out this year and that had a style to it, or was that last year?
That was last year, but still, that was okay. like one of the first things that like really hit off.
That game had style.
Yeah. Oh, nowadays style matters way more than just.
That's like a good trend. It's not so much style. It's style mattering more.
Yeah, style mattering more. And that's my personal pick. So the top four at the moment are online refunds, big press conferences, short marketing cycles, and style. What are we going to go for?
I like short marketing.
Short marketing's good.
I do like the idea that I don't have to see a game for 3 years before it fucking comes out.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah,
it almost harkens back to the day when you just walk into a store and go, "Oh, that game looks cool. Okay, cool. I want that game." And it was fun.
Because even if you're going back to Shadow Complex being sort of a weird backdoor for that launcher. It's one of those things where it's like, "Hey, we're remastering Shadow Complex. Hey, you can play it right now."
Yeah, that's really great. Like, this is out right now is a fantastic.
Hey, Fallout 4 is coming out this year. Oh, by the way, Fallout Shelter is out right now.
Yeah, that's really great. Yes. All right, I'm with you. All right, the winner of Best Trend 2015 is Short Marketing Cycles.
Sweet.
Thurbleton, I know you have to leave soon. Do you? And I can continue recording.
45.
All right. Tell me when, because then we'll do your segment.
Okay.
So next topic, best use of a licensed song. This is going to be a hard one because not many people here have played many games this year list. But I've just put on like my top three. And if you guys want to add to this, you can.
I don't remember what other games I played use licensed music outside of the two that I played that are on that this list. Three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The good thing is like their usage of the songs are pretty great.
Unless we're counting the Witcher 3 launch trailer.
That was a good trailer, and no, we can't.
Such a good trailer.
That was a good trailer. Did Terra Story have licensed music? Does Fallout 4 have licensed music?
It has. Well, it doesn't play it in like a specific context, like in all of these games.
Yeah.
It's just you have a radio, right?
Yeah. Does Star Wars?
Yeah, I will say in the Fallout universe, the song Big Iron in Fallout 3 was one of the best songs of that entire series.
Okay, so just so everyone knows, the three that we have written down so far are Life is Strange, which I'm not familiar. Like, I played through all of it, but
it's got a good soundtrack.
It's indie folk.
I couldn't tell you playing through the game if that was licensed or not.
So yeah, it was almost all licensed.
It's mostly it's actually like actual licensed artists.
Yeah.
Because I'm not familiar with that.
I'm referring to for Life is Strange. Like even like you can pick a lot of them. Like some of the wrap up sequences at the end of the episodes are fantastic. For Life is Strange, but like for me, the moment I would pick for best use of licensed song from that game is the inverted commas good ending. Music, which is the first time and only time you hear that song, and it's
oh god! So I finished Life is Strange today, and I finished it with what I guess is the bad ending.
Yeah.
So I went back and watched the good ending, and was crying my eyes out. I loved it. It was a child.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so good. The good ending is incredible.
Yeah, although although it did sort of reinforce that your like for me so I made the right decision for me.
I couldn't live with like them being monsters. But we don't want to spoil it. Like let's not spoil Life is Strange. Yeah, I'm not going to spoil
it. Because people might be watching the Giant Bomb playthrough.
Yeah. Yeah, well, watch it when they get to it. They haven't gotten to it yet, right? They haven't finished the game.
So no, they're halfway through episode 4, which awesome. Episode 4 is 2.5-3 hours of gut punches.
Yeah, it ends well. It ends really well.
Goddamn, that first part. I mean, I don't know. That's
And but have you gotten to the really annoying part where they don't take evidence like of the crime scene? Have you gotten to that yet?
There's a lot of parts I've seen. Well, forgive me. I've seen the playthrough that they don't do like that I think they should do. And it annoys me that Alex is such a pussy when it comes to making decisions. Like, I don't get that.
Exactly.
It
really
infuriates me.
Oh, man.
But, you know, it's each his own.
That's a different thing.
I couldn't do it.
Next week we have most let me just read out the title. Most game with the most illogical plot. That's next week. All right. This week. Let's see. Tales from the Borderlands.
Which are you thinking of? Episode 2 opening or episode 4
opening? I'm thinking of any of the opening sequences. All right. We haven't listed any of the songs because, again, I did this at 11 o'clock last night. I don't remember. I can bring them up. But
the key is the context they're played in, not necessarily the fact that the songs themselves are good. Yeah. Like, episode 4 song.
But I like to think that if you tell me the song, I can like sort of use my imagination to figure out a funny context.
Give me a second. Episode.
But regardless of this,
it's a ping pong orchestra.
Can we cheat here for a bit?
what do you mean by cheating?
Metal Gear Solid 5, because you can use your own licensed music.
You can't. I'm just saying,
use your own licensed
when my helicopter rolls in blasting DMX's Party Up.
I've posted an example of the opening sequence from Tales of Borderlands episode 2, which is my favorite. Different to Noob's favorite. Better.
Also, it's the category is not like best game, like best music in a game. It's best use of a licensed song.
Best use of a licensed song.
So it has to be kind of like a scripted thing, which Metal Gear Solid does that time and time again.
Yes, I would say that my pick for Metal Gear Solid would probably be obviously David Bowie song. Like, the David Bowie song.
I don't think it's David Bowie. I think it's somebody else. Who just sounds
that is
like
a cover.
No, it's his song though, right? Isn't he the first writer? Yeah,
it is originally a Bowie song, but that is not David Bowie. That's a cover. It's a very convincing cover. It's a very good cover.
your Tales from the Borderland. Well, I don't even know who this artist is.
That's Kiss the Sky by.
Nino Mocella.
Sean Lee's Ping Pong Orchestra.
Yeah, I don't know who. I almost
it's a pretty well known song. It's been used in a lot of movie trailers.
Yes.
Yep. I have never heard it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a lot of music trailers. But the main thing is like if you use the way they use the song in the way that sequence plays out and everything in that sequence, I think is just perfect. But there's other examples from that game. Yeah.
Episode four is a good one.
But you don't want to spoil all of them for these guys. They haven't played the game yet.
You're right. That's so good.
Not yet. As if I'm
good.
We'll get to there later. So the opening sequences, Tales of Borderlands is one of them, and then Metal Gear Solid 5. There's a bunch of picks. I think What's His Face was original. The Quiet's theme, that's original, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Quiet's theme's original. Which makes sense because it's called fucking Quiet's theme. But it's got a name. Like the actual song's got a name. I've forgotten it. And The Phantom Pain, that song is original as well. So it would be mainly David Bowie in terms of how the game actually uses it.
Also, there's just a bunch of like good tapes lying around.
Yeah, there are a bunch of good tapes. That's a really good... Like, if we're talking about like
use Take on of Me is an all-time great song.
Exactly. If you're talking about like use of a song...
Thunderstruck.
And like having songs as like a collectible that you can pick up and then use on your fucking like helicopter as it comes in and like play it just running around shit. That's a good use of it's like one of the best uses of a licensed song.
I mean, like Grand Theft Auto 5 has a radio station that plays classics from the 80s, right?
Vice City was the last time they ever had a good station in any Grand Theft Auto game.
But the thing is, with Grand Theft Auto, it doesn't let you blast it from a speaker on your helicopter with the weird like speaker effect layered on top of it while the helicopter is lighting dudes up from above you.
Yeah, it's like nothing in Grand Theft Auto actually lets you like set essentially a theme song for yourself. that's kind of what you're doing in Metal Gear Solid 5, right? Like it's the way, and the fact that the collectibles is actually like a thing. Like I literally went out and looked for songs,
tapes. Yeah.
Even though we ruled it out, hearing, you know, this is Pequod arriving shortly at LZ, followed by y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here is an all time great moment.
I didn't have the PC version. That kind of makes me wish I played it on PC.
Either that or John Cena's theme music.
I think this is between. Well, all these are good. I don't mind if any of these win. Life is Strange ending is my favorite,
because of
Tales of Borderlands, though. It's consistently good, and there's multiple examples.
Yes,
which I like compared to.
But the thing is, I don't know if it's good because I like it or if it's objectively good.
No,
like,
but the thing is, you have something like the fourth one, which you don't need necessarily like the song, like the buildup of them going to do what they do, and then like how they intermix humor and everything is really good.
The thing is, with Metal Gear, you hear that cover of that The Man Who Sold the World, and you just instantly think of that game.
Yes.
Like those things are synonymous.
Yeah. Especially like who has seen the true ending? Like I have. Shinboy, have you?
I have. Okay. I have not.
Okay, you have not. So like that song playing at the true ending is a big moment.
I agree.
It says a lot about what that game is about, and it's not necessarily important, but it definitely adds to the feeling of it, and that is probably
the theme of the lyrics fit the theme of the game.
Yeah. And that's a pretty good reason for it to win. Like even though I personally would probably go Life is Strange's ending as the most powerful of
to
those,
go out and find a song and a relatively well-known song that fits the theme of your game and use it effectively like that is an achievement.
Yes. And unlike the rest, which is like good moments within those games could have lived with or without that song. Whereas for Metal Gear, with The Man Who Sold the World, that's intrinsic to MGS5. I don't know.
Yes.
For me, at least.
I can't.
The game and the marketing and everything.
I have not played the game, so I do not know.
That's my personal. I'm happy with that winning. Does anyone have any?
That would be my pick.
Because so far we've got Shinboy strongly voting for Metal Gear, Noob strongly voting for Tales of Borderlands, me strongly voting for Life is Strange. So we have no consensus.
Squiddle, where are you at?
I'm going to have to go with MGS5.
Metal Gear 5? All right. Doubleton, you don't really care either way?
I enjoy the music of Life is Strange, but I mean, like, the MGS5, it's pretty good.
I recognize the music in MGS5 over any of the other.
Yeah, because like I played all of Life is Strange without knowing any of that music was actually like licensed music.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That in itself says it's pretty good use.
It's an honor to be nominated.
All right, so winner of best use of a licensed song this year is Metal Gear Solid 5. Runner ups being Life is Strange and Tales from Borderlands. Okay, this is gonna be a fun one. Biggest disappointment of 2015.
Batman Arkham Knights. Let's move on.
Oh. So nominees. Hotline Miami 2. Broken Age. The Order 1886. Batman Arkham Knight. Star Wars Battlefront. Guild Wars 2. And my vote, which can be put on this list only to be immediately taken off, Fallout 4. And that's it.
Wait, so I just want to amend. That is the Heart of Thorns expansion.
Oh, that was your mystery.
That was mystery.
Okay. High five for Fallout 4 being disappointing.
Yep, I'm Fallout 4.
Before that gets immediately removed, I'm going to guess your reasoning, because this is my reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about everyone doing open world before. Yep. People have sort of surpassed the Bethesda open world. 100%. So Bethesda doing a Bethesda open world is kind of boring.
My disappointment with that game is they didn't change enough. They didn't evolve enough. That game feels like a 10-year-old game.
They didn't use the Unreal 4 engine.
Yeah,
something.
Until Noob makes me take it off this list, it's staying on this list. Because that was so disappointing.
I agree.
Yeah, Fallout 4 is. But it can be on the top 10 and still be a most disappointing game. Like, let's not be crazy.
Yes,
I think there are other games here that are the most disappointing game of the year that are not Fallout 4.
All right. So Hotline Miami 2. Has anyone actually played it?
Yes,
I've not.
Okay. Was it actually disappointing, or was the fact that it's disappointing the fact that it wasn't good enough to be played by everyone? Because did you Hotline Miami?
I'm pretty sure all of us have a friend who thinks it's a very
I did not play Hotline Miami.
Oh, okay. So I don't know.
All right. I bought it. I played it for about 10 minutes and said, eh.
Were you disappointed by it?
Yeah, it didn't have the same draw like the first one did. It really didn't keep me going. And that's really what it was. It was very – it felt haphazardly thrown together and tied in. And I didn't – I don't know. I didn't get into it as much as I would have hoped I would have.
Right.
So I feel it was a waste of money. So, yes, for me, it's a big disappointment.
That's fair. Is it top of the year disappointment levels?
No.
Okay. All right. We'll take it off
the list. I would not say that.
Noob, I think you put Broken Age on here.
I didn't put Broken Age on there.
Who put Broken Age on there?
I didn't have expectations of Broken Age going into it. So
Broken Age is Broken Age. They did their thing. I don't know why it was a disappointment, but I never played the last part of it. So,
I mean, Tim Schafer used to make really good adventure games. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. We'll take off Broken Age. The Order 1886. I put this on this list.
Were people expecting a lot out of that game?
No, I was not. It didn't look good from the trailers. It didn't look good from anything they were showing.
Nothing about that game. The only thing it's like that game was selling was it's like, oh, it's steampunk Victoria.
That game.
Victoria. Vampires, werewolves.
I thought that game could have been cool.
A lot of people knew that it was going to be like cutscene to cutscene kind of thing.
Yeah,
and it looked good. I think it's just when it actually came to gameplay, it was just like, oh, it's just cover based shooter.
Like that's exactly what I thought it was going to be. I don't think it's disappointing. It's exactly what I thought it was going to be.
I was only disappointed because I was hoping it would be better. I think it's my fault rather than its fault. It is its fault, but let's just not say it's disappointing. I'll take it off.
Like I think I would love Bloodborne if it was like a hybrid of The Order and Bloodborne together.
Man, if Bloodborne had a coherent story that was actually good. Maybe Thurbleton disagrees, but that's my stance on it.
Bloodborne's story is all right.
Okay, let's just get the big hitters. Aside from Fallout. What's SW Battle? Is that Star Wars?
Star Wars Battlefront.
Okay, right. Star Wars Battlefront.
I knew it was going to be shit as soon as he had it. Yeah, I don't know a lot of people who thought really? It was going to be like the best game ever. Like
it's one of those things when you first hear it and you're like, DICE is doing
a Star Wars
Battlefront, you're like, cool,
yeah,
that's gonna be great.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh wait, no, it's Star Wars. They're gonna dumb it down to get all the Star Wars fans that are not Battlefield guys.
So you came into really it.
It was just like Battlefront was like a quirky game, but it was never amazing. You know? Mm. It's like there was no expectations going in that it was I played the beta and I don't know anybody who's actually bought the game. So I don't know. It is a beautiful looking game. The problem is it seems to be mostly not a lot of things to do in that game.
For a Star Wars game, I wanted a single player experience. They weren't going to give that to me. Therefore, my expectations were not high at all for the entire thing. Yeah,
that is Battlefront.
Regardless. Okay. So, yeah.
Our expectations were low going into it. So it didn't
like
actually
a
have
very,
much.
Very beautiful game. I think it should be on the best looking game of the year list as well.
That's a good point.
Breathtaking game. It's like if there was a Star Wars simulator in terms of how, like, if you had to live in the world of Star Wars, like, this looks better than what Star Wars looks like.
I can't wait till they add enough, like, DLC to that game for someone to be able to recreate all the movies using that engine.
Yeah.
And fix them.
It's actually, like, it's one of the, like, the footage in Endor where everyone's like, oh my god, this looks amazing. Like, that's basically what that actually looks like.
I can foresee someone fixing 1, 2, and 3 using that engine and it being...
Well, and with thing. And with the four, with those with that 4K mod... Yeah. That came out, or that the realistic
the
mod,
real
it looks,
yeah, it's like
that,
a sweet effects filter.
Yeah, that looks really good.
Yeah, and it's also like 4K texture packs, right? It's more. It's more new textures
as
well.
Beautiful game, and the UI is the prettiest UI I've ever seen in a game.
All right, so taking that off for most disappointment, biggest disappointment. All right, so we're left with Batman. Who put Batman here?
No, not.
Okay. No, I just didn't know.
Batman,
I just don't know.
Everyone was super excited for Batman. They're like, Arkham Asylum's going to be back. And then everybody stopped talking about it when it came out. Like, it's like the dead
immediately.
Body under the rug.
It was like the biggest one and done game.
Guys.
It's just
No. You want the biggest one and done? It was such a big one and done that we all forgot about it. Evolve.
Oh, my God.
Shit.
That's right.
Okay. Shit.
So, this is an audio podcast, right?
Yes.
Cynic, Therb, and Squiddle all have webcams on, and when I said evolve, they all sort of leaned back in their chairs and looked right up at the ceiling like, oh my god, that game exists.
That game was that supposed game to be awesome. They pushed it.
Therb
so
is still off screen.
Oh my god, you're right. No, dude, put that on the list. Evolve.
Okay. Evolve. Oh, holy shit. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Talk about, oh my counts. God.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
All right. So that's a bit premature to highlight it red on the Google Doc.
Yeah,
but Evolve, which was like when it was about a Game Informer cover, everyone's like, oh my god, this is gonna be esports. This is gonna be esports redefined, or some shit.
Hell,
that was fucking crazy. I don't know. Like, I never had faith in Evolve.
It was like an open beta, right? And everyone's like, oh my god, it's Evolve open beta. Everybody download it, and it's like, holy shit, what the fuck? What is this game?
I think when it was like, it was delayed due to not being a good game. Like, they just were like, we haven't got the gameplay right, and they just delayed it. I think it was a pretty good indication.
They didn't fix it. Just think of it this way. We haven't got the gameplay right.
Evolve released this year as a $60 game in 2015. I saw it on sale the other day for less than $15.
Man.
And like, okay, so here's the thing of, since this is specifically the ScotchCast Game of the Year discussion, and what we think was the biggest disappointment, how many people at this digital table would play Batman versus Evolve?
I would have played Batman before they came out.
Oh, wait, before it came out?
What yes.
Oh, I would have played Evolve because that's like Left 4 Dead 2. Valve.
Yeah, it's why the guys made.
I like those types of 4v1 games.
I played Evolve at one of the packs, and it was fun. I had a great time with it. When it came out, it didn't seem to be the same game that I expected it to be when it came out.
Right.
And I was like, okay. I don't know.
So, we can move on to the other categories. Yeah, nominations.
Yeah. I'm happy with Evolve being in at least a nomination. That's at least a nomination this year. All right, so, and Batman, is that a nomination or are we striking it off? Like, I don't really feel much from this group.
Well, I mean, like, for us specifically or just general? Because, like, Batman, like, what happened to that game? It disappeared out. Like, the only thing that came out of that game was the controversy. That's it.
Well, no, I mean, like, it played fine on console.
Yeah, that's the thing. But nobody, I didn't hear anything about what the quality of the game.
Well, the main thing, people talked about was that, hey, the Batmobile's in there. And then it was like, oh, wow, they put way too much Batmobile in this game. And the plot isn't that great. That's kind of the big takeaways.
And that's the opposite. Like, okay, so there's that, which people talked about. And they also talked about it being like completely broadcast on PC. Yeah. But then the third, like, that's two different groups of people talking about it. The third group of people I heard talking about it were the people who actually cared about the Batman story.
Yeah.
And they like, were way too like, they were constantly bringing up the Killing Joke.
Right.
Which is a thing that happens. It has to do with one of the characters. Yeah. It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, apparently it was, from what I understand, done pretty well.
Yeah, it was done really well. I was wondering where you're going with that. I think it was done really well. Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's that much of a disappointment if
hardcore
Batman fans, not video game fans, but Batman fans.
But there are people who also complained that the final twist of who the villain was way too obvious. Like, they picked it within the first 20 minutes or so of the game.
So is every comic book story.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But it's supposed to be like a villain. It was a villain that most people wouldn't have even heard of before. I think Red Skull, Red Mask, or some dude with red in his name. And apparently,
probably communist.
But I think it wasn't a bad game, and no one was angry at it except for the PC audience. Unlike Evolve, which was legit bad. Fallout, which I'm angry at. And the next and final
Heart of Thorns,
nomination,
which I'm angry at.
Heart of Thorns.
I'm gonna go into detail here.
Okay, all right.
This could be its own podcast.
Okay.
Most of the content in Heart of Thorns is actually very good. For those of you who don't know, they added 4 new maps, which are actually quite expansive. There's a whole bunch of different layers. They all have their own crazy meta events, and all of them except for one. Tangled Depths is iffy, but once you learn how to get around, it's not bad. The story is better than the main game, although it does have an abrupt ending.
Mm-hmm.
It leaves an interesting place.
Like, spoilers aside, you kill. Okay, wow.
You do.
Okay, cool.
The new class is amazing. Revenant is super fun. All of the elite specs are fun, you know, ripples on the existing classes. I haven't played much of Stronghold in PvP, so I can't really speak to that. And the new WoW map is trash. But the problem is that they added a whole bunch of new gear sets, and all of them are a pain in the ass to get. Like,
you could truncate, you get rid of the, like, armor sets, and getting anything in the new expansion is a pain in the ass to get.
Yes.
Right?
The masteries are fine, because once you get them, and you can use XP boosters, and they're not that bad. You do a couple of meta events, and it gets you a good chunk. That's not an issue. They fixed getting the elite specs, so that's good. But it's like, the stuff for the guild hall is fucking impossible, unless you have 500 people working around the clock, which who the hell is that? The new armor sets both use a new material, like, for the new stat spreads, which are useful for the raid, which I think the first raid boss is actually all right. It takes new materials that are super expensive because they're also used for literally everything else, on top of being time gated. So it's like super expensive and artificially gated. So it's everyone that I played with, you know, both in the Giant Bomb Guild and just friends that I know, everyone's just like, sure, we could gear up to go do the raid, and we would if it wasn't such a pain in the ass to do it. So that's where my disappointment lies, that everyone has just sort of stopped because what you're doing is fun enough, but sort of why is not there. And, you know, to sort of improve, it's not worth your time for the improvement that you see. So there you go. There's my sort of 5 minutes, my elevator pitch.
How much of that is reflected by the general community? Is that just mainly your, like, stance of things? And
that is reflected by... I don't know whether I'm in a weird bubble, but a lot of people that I know, at the very least. And it seems like on, I don't know if the subreddit's a good way to judge it, but people seem to be sharing the same thoughts.
There was a lot of stuff on, you know, I'm on Reddit, you know, consistently, but in my top feed, there's been a lot more complaints from Heart of Thorns than there was positive. And when I purchased it last weekend, a week and a half ago, finally. And when I got into it, it's like nobody's doing it anymore because of just bullshit mechanics, things that weren't, you know, empty promises, mm-hmm. things that weren't delivered on correctly or what they thought was going to happen. And so it's kind of like, eh. So my disappointment is I spent, you know, $80 on a game or $60 on a game that now, like, nobody's really playing anymore. Right. And I kind of went back into it and I'm like, I mean, I don't know. It's been a year and a half since I went into it. And now this is kind of like it's empty for me. And it's because, you know, I guess a lot of the things that Shinboy touched on that are being more people are agreeing
it's like
with.
They've always prided themselves on horizontal progression. And I think most of what they've done is true. Like the new armor is not better. It's just different stat spreads.
I don't like horizontal progression. That's what this grand experiment has taught me is I don't really.
A lot of the elite specs are not necessarily better. Some of them are. Like Chronomancer is better than Mesmer.
Right.
But a lot of them are just sort of like a different way to play.
Right.
Or like a natural extension of the class. Hmm. It's not necessarily better in every situation. And all that stuff's good. It's just that a lot of getting the cool stuff or the useful stuff is a pain in the ass.
So in a way that it wasn't. Guild Wars, a lot of people would say that the problems are deeper than the surface levels. When you actually try to start doing things and getting things and progressing, that's when you actually start seeing the problems.
What bumps me out is that it's fixable.
Right.
They're just not doing it. Like, a lot of the stuff for the materials you need for, like, getting a guild hall, you need, like, thousands of gold to make a table, essentially, that you can't even sit at.
Was it you or someone that said, like, in the chat, I remember I logged into the chat, and there was a comment in there, and I'm like, this whole argument that had happened the previous night, but that it costs more real-life money to buy an item in the game than it would, you know, or cost more...
I mean, it's
to buy in-game gold to buy an item to buy a table costs more than actually buying a real table. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's funny. That's fucked up.
But it's been the case for a long time that the best way to grind was to work a minimum wage job. that's been the case like well before this expansion. That's not the expansion's fault.
Man,
it's more like it's. I don't know. It's a bummer that.
What I'm hearing is Guild Wars 2 belongs on this list. Evolve belongs on this list. And I want to argue that Fallout belongs on this list.
I would agree with that.
Yep. Because, holy shit, that game's good, But
is it a disappointment?
Eclipsed.
I don't know what you were expecting out of Fallout.
I was expecting
something like
progressive from
fanboy.
What used to be the best RPG maker.
I was expecting more as well. Like, yeah. I looked at what was there. I weighed my options, and like,
but
I'm
I mean,
a big
like,
Bethesda fan.
Have you guys
fan.
Played the previous Fallout games?
Yes.
Doesn't right, matter. Yes. Bethesda is used to be the preeminent RPG maker in the West. Like, some people would argue Obsidian.
No, but that's Elder Scrolls. That's a different franchise. You have to look at Fallout
also,
3.
Fallout 3, when they revolutionized that franchise.
This has done much better than Fallout 3 in terms of critically.
That's not good
and
enough.
In terms of game mechanics.
And not critically. Fallout 3 dominates this critically. This is at 88, I think, or less on Metacritic. And even less, even
Fallout
lower percentages on OpenCritic or whatever the fuck it's called. Like, the aggregator. The critics have inkled on, like, I don't know what that term is, but have caught on to how this game hasn't progressed enough as well. Like, this, you can't just Fallout 3 again. And with
I'm more of an Elder Scrolls guy than a Fallout guy, but, same. Like, the state of Fallout 4 has made me worried about the next Elder Scrolls in a way that I didn't same. Think it would.
Yeah, I didn't think I would be worried about the next Elder Scrolls, and now I am. Like, that's
I don't know.
Scary.
I felt like this was an extremely good Fallout game. Like, that's what I thought.
But you're a Fallout fanboy.
No, but in terms of what Fallout is, if you take it from the core elements, right, of what Bethesda Fallout is, this is a Bethesda Fallout game.
But half of those core elements are like, hey, Fallout is, it's okay for Fallouts to be semi-broken, and it's okay for the main storyline to
right.
be shit.
Just because...
Oh, but it's,
just
it is probably one of the more, what is it?
Bug-free. Like, yeah, it's definitely one of the more bug-free yeah. Bethesda games. That's yeah. good, but it's not okay anymore for the main story of a game to be shit.
I agree.
It's not
but
okay
I don't think like that would fall under disappointment. I
it
feel
is
like
disappointment.
That would fall under
this game
like,
is still,
the worst narrative.
A lot of the content in this game is still
I don't
garbage.
Know. I don't know. But the thing is, you have to look at the expectations of people going in, and nobody was thinking this was going to have good story.
But I'm saying the big thing that they added is like the city building that you get a lot of people. Like, I know a lot of the Giant Bomb guys are just like the big new thing that they added for this game. They're just not engaging with it at all.
Yeah. And I don't. I didn't like it at all.
I don't
like,
know. Yeah, I don't do city building.
I think the tutorialization
when the big new wrinkle that they're throwing into the franchise, you're not engaging with it at all. How is that not disappointing?
No,
well,
the
big
the
new wrinkle is crafting, and that was good.
The entire cell for the crafting, yeah. But
yeah,
the entire cell of the city building was it's entirely optional. You don't have to do it. Like, they were pushing so hard to say, yeah, this is not a part of the core game.
That's also the big thing that differentiates it from the previous entries is now you have all the city building.
Yeah. Like it's you know what the worst thing about Fallout 4
is? Games
is
they're entirely optional. Like it's
I understand
exploration
that.
And
Numerama, do you know what's not
content.
Optional? Do you know what's not optional and completely what? Bullshit? And is it to change this game that hasn't been a previous Fallout that's completely bullshit what? And is completely bullshit in general? The dialogue system.
The dialogue system?
The dialogue system
play
is garbage.
3.
I'd rather Fallout 3. There's in fact mods that switch Fallout 4's dialogue system to Fallout 3's Fallout Dialogue system and fixes somewhat of the game. But that dialogue system for an RPG is not acceptable.
Wait, what are you talking about? Are you talking about like the choices? Or
yes.
Are you talking about what? Those are the same choices that you would find in Fallout 3. Not Fallout New Vegas, which has
you'd have
really
more choices. You wouldn't have just four choices in store.
Regardless, I think that the fact that Nubus is so defensive about this proves that there are a ton of people out there that are
yes.
disappointed in this.
Yes.
Oh, no, there are
even if it's
that,
even if it's not,
there are people that
if
are
you hear me out here,
yeah.
instead of just cutting me off, I think if it doesn't win, it deserves a spot on the 3.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
I don't think it's deserving of winning
that.
Over Evolve.
I'm just saying it's not the most disappointing game of the year. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, fine. But it's definitely a massive point.
No. The most disappointing game of the year is the one that we all forgot about.
It's Evolve. All right. So winner of biggest disappointment of 2015 is Evolve. Does it have a subtitle? Does it have a second part of that name? Or is it just called Evolve?
No,
Evolve,
it's Evolve.
And runner-ups being...
Colon Devolve.
Fallout 4 and Guild Wars 2 Heart of Thorns.
Evolve, colon, what happened to that game?
Next up is Thurbleton's top indie games of the year, because he has to go.
Yes.
What's up, Thurbleton?
So I'm not really sure what the indie game, this is a new category that was kind of just like listed, and then like, I don't know what I should be doing for this.
Because Thurbleton's like, I don't know about how much input in the game of the year, because he mostly plays like smaller games, more interesting, like
yes.
weird stuff. And I was like, you know what, let's just give you your own category, much in the way of Dave Snyder of past years in Whiskey Media fame. Thurbleton gets his own game of the year category. But for Thurbleton games, this could be like Thurbleton game of the year.
Yeah.
So what you got?
So, and I'm confident I am missing some games. So I'm just going to roll off what I have right now. You Must Build a Boat, Her Story, Westerado. I think it's like Double Barrel is the subtitle.
Mm-hmm.
Poly Bridge, Contradiction, Vermintide, Dino Dearest, Nuclear Throne, Undertale, Axiom Verge, Galaxy, Kerbal Space Program, Rocket League, and Shelter 2. Those are the nominations I have. You guys can look over that. Like, did you want me to, like, say?
Yeah,
like,
how are we going to do this? Are we going to have you? Are you just picking by yourself, or do you want us to have input on what we think you should pick?
I have input on this.
So I played Hand of Fate. That's a cool indie game. But
I've
if you didn't play it,
Her Story, and I've played, or I've watched someone play it.
I haven't played it, but it can be a nomination.
Fucking thermal. Her Story is not a nomination on this list. Her Story is not.
So yeah, I'm merely mentioning.
All right.
What people would consider quality indie games that have come out this year. By the way, Dino Dearest is available on itch.io for whatever price you want to pay. It's an amazing, hilarious game that I will make Snake and Nubrama play.
Oh, the Darkest Dungeon? Yeah.
Oh, is that the thing you told us about?
No, Dino Dearest.
Oh, Dino Dearest.
Yeah, it's a it's a dating sim with dinosaurs.
Oh,
that sounds great.
Yeah,
that sounds good enough. That sounds solid.
It's really well written, you guys.
So essentially,
all right, so.
Okay, but how about we just like go? I want this to win, and you can pick from our picks from your list. And this is something you don't want.
Just bold or italicized stuff you guys want.
And you know what's crazy? I have not played a single one of these outside of Kerbal Space Program, and I haven't played it since it's been out. Oh wait, then I have played a bit of Undertale. That's it.
I think I'm probably going to go with either Undertale or Contradiction. That's
yeah, Undertale's has made the biggest splash, I would think.
Shinbo, you need to back up for your microphone. You're a little bit hot.
I'm sorry.
That's cool. So Undertale, like, did you only played an hour of it, right, Shinbo?
Yes, I'm currently playing it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
As we speak, but like I'm in the middle of playing it.
Have you gotten to any of the twists yet?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. I won't say.
I'm in the second area.
Okay. Yeah. So you met the sunflower the second time.
That's the second time.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, and, second time.
Yeah, the second time. And did he say like, something that freaked you out or not?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Just to move this category along, I will just weigh in at what I think the three that like need to be recognized are.
Right.
And that is, and you guys can decide which of those three you want to be the best.
Okay.
And that's Rocket League, Kerbal Space, and Contradiction.
Damn.
And the reasoning is because it's like a lot of the other games are sort of just improvements or highlights of a known theory.
Mm-hmm.
And like Contradiction, yeah, everyone knows FMV, but we haven't seen really good FMV in a long time. And they did that really well, both with the gameplay of it and the acting. That was just really on the nose. Kerbal Space,
it officially came out this year, right?
So, and yes.
And we haven't had it in any of our previous Game of the Year lists. And it's kind of sad because it's never actually been like finally out, right?
Yeah.
And I think that game does things that no other game does. And it's unique. It's a unique snowflake thing.
It's an amazing, it's perfect. A game that like I could go to a school and teachers would love it.
Right. So essentially, I don't know. So you're saying Contradiction, Kerbal Space Program, and Rocket League as your top three?
Yes. And Rocket League because it's esports.
I would rather.
I'm going to get shit for this both now and next weekend. I don't like Rocket League.
That's fair. I didn't play. I haven't even played Rocket League. I respect Rocket League.
I haven't played Rocket League.
In the same way, I respect many of the Nintendo games, but
people like it.
I mean, like, are we okay with putting KSP at the top?
Kerbal Space Program is a amazing game. Full stop.
Yeah. Especially compared to all of these other games, in the scale of what that game does and accomplishes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Kerbal Space Program is a gift.
And again, I'm just going to roll off all these games again because all of them are like some people have issues with them, but all of them are like really good games.
Mm-hmm.
You Must Build a Boat, great on iOS. Her Story, it's a neat game to play with somebody who's just like first time playing through, and the act of sleuthing out.
Yeah,
it's really hard to do a game about like figuring out a story. Westerado, it's such a dumb, great, just old, like 8-bit game about avenging your father's death.
Poly Bridge, Chill, Building Simulator, Contradiction, watch the Giant Bomb video. Hmm. Vermintide is like, Left 4 Dead is such an old game, and Vermintide does the same thing as Left 4 Dead, but it's a new game, and yeah, it's four-player co-op against like a sea of rats, rat men. Dino Dearest, Dinosaur Dating Simulator, Shelter 2, I've talked about it previously. It's actually the least of the favorite games. I just really liked it. Hand of Fate, Shinboy?
I really liked it. It's a cool sort of mix of a like CCG and action RPG.
That's cool.
Nuclear
with Throne. With some like mild choose your own adventure elements.
Yeah, does it have plot? Like, is that, that's my big...
Not really. Okay. It's like all the cards sort of have their own like small little plots. Like, oh, you meet this, you know, elf lady in the woods, and she tells you about yada yada yada. It's a card game. I mean, and there is a guy sort of talking about his deck and his challenges. I don't know if it really goes anywhere, but it might not.
It's not a Manos Hands of Fate thing.
No.
No, okay. I thought that's what it was.
Right.
Nuclear Throne is the game by Vlambeer of, it's a two-man team. They've been working on the game for a while. It's actually now, it's 1.0 release on PC and now early access on PS4.
Oh, wow. That's right.
It was like, all right, moving on to the next thing. Nice. Make money off that. But yeah, it's, if you're a fan of Hotline Miami and like roguelikes, Nuclear Throne is a really good game for you. Cool. Undertale, we've talked about before. It's like Earthbound with all the feels. Mm. Axiom Verge is a wonderful homage, I guess, to old school Metroid. Galaxy is a wonderful homage to old school anime mechs and asteroids.
Mm-hmm.
KSP and Rocket League.
Yeah.
KSP. Would I like old school Metroid? Would I like Axiom Verge if I have not played it?
I bet you would.
I think so. Yeah, it came out early this year. Jeff really liked it.
Yeah.
Metroid Fusion is one of my favorite games of all time. Not necessarily old school, but it's in that style.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
because GBA.
Because both like Metroid guy or Metroid lovers, like Jeff and like old school Metroid lovers, Jeff and
yeah, because I've really played a good amount of Super Metroid this year.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you did. This year's been a crazy year. All right. Anyway, so Doubleton's top indie game of the year is Kerbal Space Program, and he's peacing out for the rest of the show. But we're keeping the call running, so hopefully everything doesn't break.
Yep.
Please don't break. Good luck. Please don't break Skype. For the love of God. All right. Next on. Is this is gonna be interesting. I'm not gonna pick that one next. I'm gonna go for best performance, acting / VO. So essentially,
I have no preference. So just pick whichever one you want.
Yeah, okay. All right, sweet. Because it's gonna be an interesting argument between me and Noob, I guess.
I don't even know, but like, okay, let's go.
So best performance encompasses actual acting of an actor.
Okay, well then story is kind of off the list because she's not that great of an actress.
Versus VO versus animation, because in many cases animation is done separately from the actor. Like for example,
those Life is Strange animations are rough.
So all those things together, like as portrayed on screen, not like the person in the background, what you see on the screen, that's what I mean by best performance.
Yeah.
Because you can have like the best voice acting in the world, but on a text adventure, and it will not count.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right.
I'm just going to throw my hat in, even though it's not on this list, and I don't necessarily think it deserves to win. But The Witcher 3, a lot of the subtle facial animations are very good.
Witcher 3 is good. Like, who would you pick from Witcher 3? I'll probably pick Yennefer or... Or maybe Geralt.
I would pick Yennefer. Yennefer's good, and Geralt's very good. I think that dude in the first Witcher was really rough in that role, but he settled into it very nicely.
Yeah. Like, Geralt did the best gruff father I've seen in a video game.
And also,
if you play him that way,
a lot of the someone will tell you something, and you'll either like roll your eyes or look distraught. And like a lot of the really subtle facial animations are very good.
Mm, yeah, it's like what you see on screen in terms of like acting is solid. Like when he wants to be funny, he is funny. Like I remember one quest where there's like this monster that lives underground and it speaks to this like statue, and people have started worshiping the statue. Yep. And he immediately figures out what's going on. So he's just like essentially being really like condescending to all the villagers who are like worshipping this statue. It is, and he does it in a really great way. And like that acting portrayed through the animations is like flawless in that scene. It is fantastic. I'm surprised I forgot to put Witcher 3 on here. But Sakaar nominations for best performance in voice acting is Her Story, Life is Strange, oh, Metal Gear Solid 5, Tales from the Borderlands, and Witcher 3. Those are the nominations for best game.
So now that I said my piece about The Witcher 3, you guys can do what you will.
All right. So Witcher 3 is a good option for Geralt or Yennefer. Yennefer is fantastic in that game. One of the strongest female characters in the game.
Especially when those two are interacting. Yes. It's excellent.
Yeah.
I think Silence did the best VO.
Quiet.
Silence.
Oh, God. Well, she did sing, right? Like, she sung for that song. I don't know.
She hummed a whole lot.
Yeah, she did. She definitely hummed a whole lot. That got so annoying. I never used her. Oh, my God.
I love the humming. The humming was so great.
D-Dog all the way. Fuck you.
Fuck D-Dog.
How can you say that? How could you, monster?
Because the dog has been worthless for me in the entire game.
You know, best voice acting in a video game.
He has an eye patch. It's a dog with an eye patch. As a dog owner of like a dog who only has one eye, I that's the one element in MGS5 that, having not played, I could be like, yo, fuck yeah, D dog.
So speaking of MGS5, I think Kiefer Sutherland does a fantastic job as Big Boss.
Yeah, he does deliver those three lines very well.
He's like the only proper actor man out of any.
He delivers his three lines very convincingly.
Like, you're right in that he doesn't have much to do. It doesn't say much in that game. When he does say stuff, like I was expecting a train wreck. I got a very good performance. And
you know who was really bad in that game? Troy Miller? Baker as Miller. Ocelot.
Oh, no, I liked him. I liked him as Ocelot.
No, because I didn't hear Ocelot. I just heard Troy Baker.
That's true.
As an actor, that means you failed at your job.
Well, it means the director failed, because Troy Baker has range, but he is probably asked to do that voice. And
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's the director or the actor. Yeah, you, as a character, it
doesn't the character
work.
Has failed if you don't see the character when you hear the voice. You hear the voice actor. That's bad. Like a lot of, for a long time, that happened with Nolan North. He's been like asked to diversify now, which is great, so he's usually pretty good.
But even now, when it's just Nolan North as Nathan Drake, like in the back of my mind I know it's Nolan North, but to me that is Nathan Drake.
Yeah. So Kiefer I think is a good option, but I'm happy to strike that off the list. Life is Strange I put on here only because of that ending sequence.
That has nothing to do with the performances aren't bad. They're fine.
The acting is good enough, but the animations don't match.
Hot garbage. They're rough. Yeah. Like what you actually see on screen, like the VO is pretty good for the whole game.
It's fine. It's like fine.
Like it's never, for context, we watched Star Wars yesterday. Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Mm.
And 2.
Yeah. And 2. Yeah. And like the VO was of higher quality than anything in those movies.
But that's not saying anything, because the performances were very awful and dry.
The actors didn't really add to the experience. Right. They didn't take away from it though either.
Yeah, it's a fine performance. It was fine.
Exactly. Like I think
it was enough to be believable.
I think we can strike that off though.
Yes, I agree. Like the strength of the game is in the direction and not the VO itself, and not really the performances themselves, because like Victoria did a fantastic job of being a complete bitch. In fact, she probably be my favorite character from that game.
But I mean, it's not like a complex bitch.
So we can strike out MGS5 and Life is Strange.
Okay. All right. So we're left with Her Story, which I'm striking out just by principle. Okay. Yeah, all right. I need to back up a bit.
Okay. Oh, wait. Let me just say, as like an acting performance, it wasn't awful.
Yes.
It was just like, if you're using it to carry the entire game, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's okay.
I think the problem with Her Story wasn't her acting. I think she actually acted pretty well. The problem was the script and how obvious it was and how unearned the twist was. The crazy thing about Her Story is it depends on what order you saw the story unfold in.
But also, if at that point you're going into more criticism of the narrative than the performance.
And then the performance
was
still.
Was her story the one where she's being interviewed by the detective type thing? That's that? Okay.
Yeah. And she might have been playing two separate people. And I don't want to spoil
this. Hear me out. Get rid of all of these. Best performance, contradiction.
That's, I mean, that's, all right, I'm striking for Her Story because fuck that. that's yeah, I'm putting contradiction on this list. Yeah.
Yeah, I that is probably some of the That's actually pretty good.
Best, yeah. It's the best.
It's the it executes what they intended it to execute, and that's saying something. It is some of the most fun I've had with a video game this year until Tales of the Borderlands came along. But it is amazing how endearing that game was immediately. Like, it's within minutes of meeting, I've forgotten the main character's name. Fuck, what's his name? The inspector, whatever his name, the detective dude. You like him. And so, like, the people he interviews are hamming it up in the perfect way. And I'm actually happy to put that on best performance. Because it's good at being B-movie, and it's hard.
You have Contradiction, Tales from the Borderlands, and Witcher 3. I think it's a solid 3.
Yeah, it's a solid 3.
What is Spot the Liar?
That's the subtitle for Contradiction. That's the subtitle
for...
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So Tales from the Borderlands, noob.
Oh, shit.
I don't think it should win
this. All right, okay. So you, for some reason, put facial performances. I don't know why.
Because it's important.
But let me link to the strength of Tales of the Borderlands.
Yes.
The opening of episode 4 as they're going by, and then the main character looks to Sasha.
Yes, okay, yes. All right, yes.
Fiona comes in the middle. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Those Telltale games look so janky.
It is.
To me.
The thing is, like, I don't mean animation isn't necessarily animation quality. If the animation does what it intends to do, it counts.
How good, like, the way they, pull off physical humor in this game through the animation. Like,
let's not be crazy.
Do they use their janky ass piece of shit engine to the game's advantage?
Yes.
No, but because we're playing on PC, it doesn't ruin
the game. It doesn't ruin the enjoyment of the game.
I think only like once or twice we had the thing where someone's standing on in the T pose and then snaps back to I think it only happened once or twice for the whole 12 hours. Like, most of the time, the engine, because they don't really ask for much from it in Tales of the Borderlands, it didn't. The jank really never came into it. And, like, in terms of, like, actual
the shadows
walking around,
have been fucked up a lot of the time. That has nothing to do with performance.
But, like, the best characters in that game are Lotobot and...
But, again, voice acting of Gordas, for example.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's
great.
It's Ashley Johnson. It's the chick from freaking
All
Lost
of the characters are believably performed. They're self-contained characters, right? You could enjoy them regardless of whether or not you like Borderlands, whatever, right?
Yeah. In fact,
they're all
in spite of Borderlands, you can like them.
Basically. They're played up to be likable, right? The way Troy Baker delivers the lines of the main character has a lot to do with how funny that game is.
And speaking of that, I didn't immediately figure out he was Troy Baker. I heard it within an hour or two, but immediately, he was not, to me, Troy Baker. And in my head, he's still that character, and that's executing.
The opposite of his performance as Ocelot.
Yeah, it's the opposite. Yeah, and so, you're right. The animations were perfect, and definitely for the first episode, they were fucking rough. But by the end, it didn't really matter, because the performances were enough, especially in the case of, Scooter and Lotobot, and all the robots were fantastic. The performances were good enough that it conveyed that great plot. And I'm definitely on side with you that probably my favorite character of the year is Lotobot. He is amazing from the start, where he's doing what should be annoying, Terminator references should be annoying in 2015, but the way he does them is so good.
It's
fantastic.
Good.
Yeah,
all of the references are so good.
Yeah, he's incredible. That said, though, Geralt is a very nuanced character. That's very difficult to do, and it doesn't have the problem of being good in spite of its animations.
The animations weren't problematic in the game.
No, I would
totally disagree with.
In
that
fact, like, in some
all.
Cases
it's
with Lotobot inspired. And the robots in general, the animations helped. Gordas trying to drag that corpse, was fantastic, and I was helped by the animations. It was incredibly well done.
The high five, bro fist.
The bro fist was pretty fantastic.
The guy of the main character Reese jumping on and trying to strangle the guy.
Yes.
The fucking finger gun fights. There's so many.
Gun fights.
Oh man.
Stop talking about that.
Okay. All right.
It's in that level of detail.
For me, it's between
going back to
and
Geralt.
Yeah.
Like going back to Geralt, both the director and the voice actor had the challenge. You've had it for 3 games. They've been getting gradually better at it.
Yeah.
Of portraying emotion with a character that part of his backstory is that a lot of emotion was removed from him.
Yes. He,
I think they do it well.
Having read at least the first book and half the second, like the prequel, Geralt as a character is supposed to be gruff. And portraying gruff in a way that's likable is incredibly difficult in a video game. I think that having not played like myself, I've watched Witcher 2 and I haven't even played or seen Witcher 1. But the way Geralt...
Witcher 1, it's like, oh, okay.
Witcher 1, he is rough in that game. Witcher 2 is not quite as good as 3, but it's way better than 1.
Yes. But in Witcher 2, like, he was more of like... He lost his memory, so he's more of just a player, and he wasn't that likable a person. But in Witcher 3, he's actually Geralt as portrayed in the books. It's actually the closest to the books I've seen portrayed. And that ability to convey someone who's emotionally reserved but still warm to his family, like his interactions with Ciri were
bringing more narrative into it, the way they sort of bring Ciri in and sort of bring out that father figure character in him,
incredible. That was like Joel and Ellie level good in some cases, not always, but in some cases it was Joel and Ellie level.
There's
good.
One specific scene I think that we're both thinking of relatively late in the game. I'm thinking of later on, right after, it's not a point of no return, right after it tells you to save.
Right.
And there's a scene.
Yes.
It's like right when you first, I think it actually might be when you first see Ciri.
Man. Yeah. Like when you first see Ciri and Geralt thinks something's happened to her and, oh man.
Yep.
That's pretty good. Also the which was this like Geralt and Ciri, like happily ever after as a family unit ending.
Mm-hmm.
That was like this is the scene with her and him giving her the sword and all is pretty fucking great.
I got the same ending.
The ending of that game was pretty good.
did Dragon Age come out this year or was
that
last year?
No, that was last year.
Okay,
yeah. I don't think it would.
I wasn't sure.
Oh, Dorian
it wasn't
might
that
write.
Great.
Dorian might write.
Oh, Dorian, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's more the written character as well. That's a big part of Dorian.
I have to say,
on this list, I had not played Tales from the Borderlands, so I don't have that enthusiastic drive that you guys have for it, which I can understand, I guess, if I have played it or had seen it being played.
Yeah.
For me, I'd have to say a contradiction just because of what it is.
Isn't helping. We got me voting for fucking Witcher, Shinboy voting for Witcher, Noob voting for Tales of the Borderlands, and Squiddles voting for
Two Beasts One.
Yeah, Two Beasts One. I mean, I will have to concede to that. But it was such a fun game watching Contradiction. But you know, whatever. I mean, I get that, and I would concede to Witcher because it was it was a very well done game, and the voice acting leaded to that emotional tie-in very well. Yeah. So.
Like Noob suspected that this is one of the things with Game of the Year things. Noob, like you suspected that I made some of these categories for people from Tales of the Borderlands.
No, well, I didn't think best performance. Okay. I thought you were gonna go for fucking.
Hey, sometimes your game doesn't win. It happens.
We're going for Life is Strange. Yeah. I thought, Tales of the Borderlands
Ashley,
is going for a different place.
No, Tales of Borderlands is. Lotobot is great. All of these are great, but Witcher wins. That's the stance. So best performance / VO in a video game this year, Witcher 3, going to Geralt. You should probably get the name of the voice actor later. Anyway,
I can look that up.
And with that, we're going to the last category, the last main category. Actually, no, we got two more. Okay, we got two more. Two big categories.
We have two more?
Mm-hmm. Okay. The first one we're going to do is best looking game of 2015. This is going to be interesting. Mm.
It's Battlefront, but I will go for Life is Strange.
Ooh.
Life is Strange, I don't know, because those animations are janky, and some of that stuff looks rough up close.
But there's multiple moments. See, the thing is, I haven't played Battlefront.
It creates a believable game world in a level that I haven't seen in a really long time. Like, it's like Small Town Portland. I don't know what Small Town Portland looks like, but when I think of Small Town Portland, I think of the place they created it in Life is Strange.
That's true. It's almost like Innova like levels. Town,
Portland is a city.
Or Small Town Oregon, sorry. Yeah.
Of course, Thurb's not here.
Yeah, Thurb's not here. This is perfect.
Whatever. I was out in Oregon in June. I can talk about Oregon as an authority.
like two whales cool. is a place, right? Like if
Yeah.
They created two whales. And that, I don't know, it went, that school
I
as
mean,
well,
like that, that, created that kind of, that kind of diner is very much just an Americana thing, not necessarily yes. Oregon. It's actually more absolutely. Prevalent out by me.
Yeah. I actually would have thought it was more south. Like, I thought that kind of
diner the old, like the Silver Bullet diner like that is very much like, especially New Jersey, is very much a New Jersey thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so like, but yeah, when it comes to cinematography is kind of what I think Life is Strange just nails it, because multiple times just the framing of those shots is so good. Like I had to like, because me and Noob played it together, I had to like almost pause the game and say, Noob, like,
wow, this game looks really good.
This game looks really good. This game looks really fucking good. It's not always that good, though.
It's more colorful than Bloodborne. I will give you that.
But there are times, there are times in Bloodborne, Witcher, and in Metal Gear where I was sort of like, I had to stop and sort of like, this is impressive.
Yeah, this is impressive.
Bloodborne is more art direction than technically.
Yes. That's why it's best
Metal Gear
game.
Here we go. I'm going to let my three picks are Witcher, Metal Gear, and Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. Bloodborne for its art style, Metal Gear for like just pure technical prowess.
Okay. And technical realism, maybe
and The Witcher for a blend of the two.
Interesting, because I would give like for me, if I was to pick the most technically impressive game in this list, it'd probably be Battlefront.
Yeah, sexy game.
Best blend is Witcher. I agree.
I did not play Battlefront outside of the beta, so
I've only seen video footage. Sexy game, and it looks sexy game. Fucking incredible. And best art direction, I'd probably go for Life is Strange.
Mm-hmm. Witcher creates
the art direction of Bloodborne is so strong.
Yeah, it is strong. Yeah, it is so strong. Like everything, like when you see Bloodborne, you immediately know it's Bloodborne. Like it's not even like,
especially if we're counting like DLC like in there. There's a shot in The Old Hunters where it's not too long before you drop down to get to the lamp right next to the first boss, where you come over a hill and they have sort of like their moon in that DLC with like the whole city laid out.
Yeah.
And it's so good. And like you just hear the bell toll as you get to the top.
Like even though they've made many multiple Souls games and they're working on another, you don't get confused between Bloodborne and Souls game. When you see Bloodborne, you know it's fucking Bloodborne.
Except for Dark Souls 3, that shit looks Bloodborne as hell.
Does it? Yeah, I haven't seen much of it. Oh, man.
The first gameplay trailer they put out, it's like, here's these cobblestone streets with these villagers with pitchforks walking at you.
That's kind of disappointing. I don't know. That game will probably be pretty good.
As somebody who lives in a country where it snows, Battlefront has the most realistic snow in a video game ever made.
That's not surprising. That game... Yes, like the Forest Moon of Endor,
like the sound of your foot crunching on the snow. It's like, oh my god,
yeah.
Why has nobody done this before?
Yeah, the Forest Moon of Endor, man, that game, that looks so good. It looks,
you know,
it's amazing.
Yes. I am biased because my frustration with what Battlefront was. I will not give it to it out of just pure hatred for what they did. I can't do it.
It's what the game looks like, and it is.
But I can't support it
because I didn't play it, so I haven't seen all it has to offer.
What do you mean by what it was?
Because it's an online only game. Fuck that, and that's my opinion. That I don't like an online only game. There's no single player, so I'm never going to play it. And so why would I ever give an award?
It totally is first person.
Single player, yeah. So I would never give an award to a game that I would never, ever, ever play.
You can't give it any awards. It's very spiteful.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
But the category is best looking game, right? It's sure. I don't care about fucking Battlefront at all. I don't intend to play it, but it's... I've seen footage of that. That looks fucking as good as the old movies.
In the way, what are they trying to do? They're trying to create the Star Wars universe in a video game,
and it looks beautiful. I would never give it the award.
Animations of things being shot, like Stormtrooper being shot, is spectacularly accurate to those early.
Like looking over the battlefield in a TIE fighter in Endor, right, or on Jakku, right? Yeah. Fuck, it's amazing. It's actually amazing.
Like I don't really like Battlefront, but like I wouldn't mind if it made the top three or one, because it does look amazing.
Yeah, it does look incredible. I'm happy for it to be in the top three. It's a lock. I'm happy to take off the one I took off before, which is The Order. And I think that game looked amazing when it came out and then was preceded by fucking Witcher and Battlefront and a bunch of others. So that can go. We haven't really narrowed it down. It's Witcher, Life is Strange, MGS5, Battlefront, and Bloodborne. I think we can take Bloodborne off.
Witcher, Life is Strange, Battlefront. Let's go.
Oh, I love the style of Bloodborne so much.
Yeah.
Especially as you get in the latter half of that game with the design of some of those, the kin.
The design, like Ludwig looks so unique and so, oh man.
All the gear is cool.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, I'm happy they at least add more as well. The animations in Bloodborne are pretty good. And they have the ragdoll bodies again. That's a plus. The battle of that. But that's the thing, like we can have I don't care how many fucking nominations we have, because unlike Giant Bomb, we don't need a top three. I'm happy to have all these.
Yeah.
Nominations. But we have to pick
a winner. I was gonna say this is a good year for good looking games.
This is a very good year for good looking games.
But yeah, Witcher,
like good looking games world. For different
prettiest
reasons.
Prettiest fantasy world ever made.
Witcher?
Also the fact that it's such a huge world.
Yeah. It's
so pretty.
Novigrad is the best like video game city that I've seen in a while.
I agree. And just going back to why Fallout's on our most disappointing list, Novigrad compared to anything.
Novigrad is a living city.
Yeah. Holy shit. Like, even though Novigrad has the problem of non Bethesda games of like, it's not, no one's, the people aren't really running on like long scripts. They're pretty short scripts. So when you rock up, people are kind of doing the same thing. That's a problem. But, and that's a problem in general, Witcher. But like, even with that aside, when you're in Novigrad, you feel like you're in a fucking medieval town, like a big, well, I guess you call it a city. I don't know what they would have called a city back then. But
so the amazing realization I had with Witcher is when that there was a guy with the cart and he wanted you to help him, or it was something to the effect of, "I'll pay you back later with interest. I can't pay you now." And I played the game for another like 10 hours, and I went back, and he goes, "Here's your money with interest."
But
the general point was like, wow, in real time and how everything played out, he was still there. Yeah, that was still a part. And I thought that
speaking
was
to the scripting. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so bringing back to best looking game, it is the best looking medieval world, I think, that's been portrayed.
Plus Skellige with the Vikings.
Oh, Skellige. That because I don't know if it's made to work that way, but when you first get to Skellige, for me, it was sunset, and just like riding through Skellige with that song. I think it's called
The Skellige music, like the main theme for riding around Skellige is very good.
Oh my god. Man, that game. But that said, though, like, is it the best looking? Is it better looking than Metal Gear Solid? Like, Metal Gear Solid is a Metal Gear game. And that game,
it is also really, like, while it's very pretty to look at, it's also very boring to look at. Yeah, I didn't enjoy looking at it.
You don't like staring at desert of Afghanistan. You don't like Afghanistan. Yeah. You don't like oil rigs in Afghanistan.
The same.
But this is kind of one of the best gameplay segment, because why I like the look of Metal Gear isn't the actual like art direction. It's technically good, but for me, it's how they managed to fit full animation frames within that gameplay. Pulling up a gun in Metal Gear feels and looks so fucking good. Hitting the ground, hitting your stomach on Metal Gear looks and feels good.
Best mechanics,
but that's not has to do with looks.
That would be a different.
It's not
category,
just to do with looks. Yeah, it's to do with the package.
It'd be like, that'd be like a best feel.
Yeah,
like people talk about mouth feel with certain like drinks and food. This would be like a gameplay feel.
Yeah, you're right. Like looking just in terms of visuals, aside from animations, because the animations are pretty good. Metal Gear.
I would go out on a limb and say I could remove MGS5 from this category. Because between the art direction of Life is Strange, Bloodborne, Battlefront, and Witcher, that's a very strong pull.
If those four the last four games that you mentioned, whether it's a real style, they all have some sort of style and they nail it.
Yeah, they nail that style. All right, so I'm striking Metal Gear Solid 5. So we have to pick between Witcher, Life is Strange, Bloodborne.
I don't even
Bloodborne.
Know what I like the best. Probably.
I'm going to pick The Witcher just because like halfway through, if you count Skellige, halfway through, they switched sort of styles and they nailed it both times.
Nailed it both times.
I think there's something about Life is Strange that it's like
But Life is Strange, I was never
by how good it looked despite it looking so ugly.
There are also times where like there are certain shots in Life is Strange, especially with like hands and stuff, where I'm just like, this looks bad.
Indeed. Oh man. Yeah,
I love the coloring.
Yeah.
And the pastel colors and the vibrant colors that were in Life is Strange. Yeah. I really like that. I did.
Life is Strange wins best sunset.
easily. I don't know.
I think Witcher wins best sunset.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's very cool.
All right, Skylines After Dark wins best sunset.
I think this group is, even though this is a fucking fierce competition, I think we're leaning Witcher, and and I want to pull this.
It's the only one that all of us seem to agree on.
Yeah. We all agree on Witcher. All right, so Witcher. Yeah. So best looking game of 2015 is The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. And moving on to the final real category of the day. And I don't know if this will be long. It might just be me. Worst game we've played this year. So this I specifically left open because it's not really like the worst game of the year.
I haven't played really bad games.
I haven't really played any bad games.
Everyone's at a point. Nobody goes out and buys shit games, right? Yeah. That's the problem. No,
yeah.
Yeah.
I have anything early access you've played? Because I played bad games.
The closest for me would be Broken Age. But I didn't hate it. I thought it was okay. I thought it was just an okay game.
That's just a lot about how good this year has been for video games. I don't know.
I mean, how relatively good we were at picking games.
I would have to say if I were to go on the first 20 minutes that I've played of Undertale, I would have to say, but that's only 20 minutes. Yeah. So I'm
before
not
you scratch the
first,
surface of the actual the first, game.
The yeah. first 20 minutes of Undertale, I didn't like either. And then I sort of moved on a bit, and that game's very subtle humor gets to you.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
so then, yeah, it's hard. I really can't say there's been a bad game I've played this year.
I've got a couple of things for this list. For me, Her Story. Only because that...
Man, you really have like a vendetta against this game.
So part of it is because... most of the time, and this might be difficult to believe, most of the time I try to not be contrarian. In this case, I am actually trying to be contrarian because this game has gotten so much praise that it highlights to me how low the standards of so many people are. And that's what makes me angry about Her Story.
Go on. Yeah. If we want a game that I paid money for and played and didn't like at all, so I haven't gone back to it, I'm going to go with Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Oh, fucking yes. That's on my list as well, son. That's on my list as well. Oh, that game was bad.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
You guys are very daring in the games you purchased.
I also purchased Galaxy and didn't really like it, but I recognize its quality. I just don't like the roguelike aspects of it, and that's a me thing.
Yeah. So with Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, and I have the same problem with Her Story. They both have interesting stories poorly executed.
I was just sort of bored.
Did you finish it?
No.
Oh God! Like that
loop.
I
was too bored.
That gameplay loop is not good. Like walking / maybe jogging. I don't even think it's a jog. It's like slightly
so slow.
It's so slow, and that's the only way to progress in the story. And the story itself is like kind of becomes obvious about 2/3 through, and then you're just like left with having to sit around while it tells you the shit you've already figured out. And that's the same. That's a problem I have with a lot of games of recent, especially like Telltale's Walking Dead, for example. It's bad. It was to the point where I regretted my PlayStation Plus download of that game, let alone, was it free or was it purchased?
Everyone's Gone to the Rapture? It was part of like some deal where like, if you bought one, you got other ones for cheaper, like other games off of a certain list. It was like part of their summer promotion.
I can't believe I paid money for that game. Fuck.
Not that bad.
I liked the precursor, the game I made before this. I forgot what it's called.
Dear Esther?
Dear Esther. I actually like, yeah.
Because the game before was really was a machine for pigs.
Right. Yeah, but Dear Esther, though.
Dear Esther was an excellent walking simulation.
Yeah. It was good
I played the original mod of it. And man, they definitely improved the speed of the walking in the actual. I'm glad that they did.
Yes, but they didn't in Everybody Gone to the Rapture.
That's like barely a fucking game. Oh God, I don't know.
So going back, this is a bit of an aside, but I want to go on it anyway. It's not really a trend because it's not really a thing that can happen in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at a studio like the Chinese Room,
yeah,
right. right now, the Chinese Room were to announce a new game. If you knew nothing about it, you would already know what it is, right?
Yes.
It is, you walk around this area and you get a story. Piece together a story.
Yeah.
Right? I was thinking about going back to Life is Strange. That company, was it Don't Nod?
Yeah.
Entertainment?
Yeah.
They did Life is Strange after doing Remember Me, and their next game is a vampire-themed action RPG. So I was like, man, I really love studios that they announce a game and you don't know what it's going to be stylistically. Exactly. Like, that's the thing that I really love.
Is awesome. I like, not that I particularly liked Remember Me. I didn't really give it a chance, but like, I love studios that have a
like, we were talking about Double Fine before. Like, Double Fine, they announced a new game. You have no idea how it's going to play.
Yeah. You know, like, they announced a game, aside from Psychonauts. I forgot. Oh, yeah, the head one. You're this head.
That had been announced previously.
Oh, okay. Right. But it's, that's, I would have thought of that when I thought Double Fine. I would have thought of that at all.
Remember Telltale. Me was game.
You know exactly what Telltale game's going to be when you...
Exactly.
Man, yeah. Yeah, I can only think of two really bad games, though, that I played this year. Like, Her Story and Everybody Goes to the Rapture.
You know, I could go into mobile games and see, but that's about it. Because there's a lot of mobile games.
Now, since there's not really a winner, since we're not picking an overall...
Yeah, we're not picking
an overall. How about the mobile games, Squiddle?
Mobile games, I would have to...
Hold on. I need to read the title. Mm-hmm. How about we go into Squiddle's top mobile game of the year? There's a question mark.
Yeah, there is a question mark on that. It's very...
So again, this is another thing where you can, if we want, we can weigh in, but it's up to you as to the winner.
Man, I don't... Do you guys play mobile games?
I don't really.
Stopped playing mobile games.
Yeah, I don't have games on my phone.
Well, you have that card game.
No, but that's on my tablet. That's only when I'm like,
that
when
counts.
I have nothing to
We're talking
do.
About mobile games.
That's still a phone. That's still technically. You know,
yes. Come on. I'm talking about mobile games in general, not phone games. And like, Shinboy, like, Persona doesn't count because that's last year or 2 years ago.
Wait, what?
You know, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not counting. You could almost put mobile games in the say Game Boy, but I can't think of the actual term.
Like handhelds?
Handheld, mobile phone, I mean, PS Vita.
Then it's Pokemon Picross.
Interesting. Mm. Yeah, because a handheld count. That's the intention of it. I don't know what Squiddle wants to choose or wants to limit it to, but in my head, it was handheld count.
For mine, I just want to do like cell phone.
Okay, sure.
Because when I hear mobile, I think of like mobile devices like a cell phone or a tablet.
Okay, so we're talking about cell phone games. All right, Squiddle, what are the nominees?
So the nominees are WWE Immortals, Mortal Kombat X, Fallout Shelter, Lara Croft Go, You Must Build a Boat,
okay.
Downwell,
Damn.
Free Blade, Rune Blade, Hopiko, Pac-Man 256.
All right.
And somebody put on here, a good snowman is hard to build. I don't know what that is. I have no idea what that is. That is not a part of my list.
I see it now. I didn't see the list before. Okay, cool. So
I have it off to the side because I wasn't good with the whole.
I really like the inclusion of Lara Croft Go. That's my personal. That's what I like. I'm
just gonna say, even though it came out last year. Monument Valley, just give it to it again.
Yeah, that's like because it's free now. It went free on iOS,
right?
Because of its everything. So that was like their big. It was like everyone loved it, free game of the month or something. But
yeah.
So there's almost two categories I'm gonna have to start building now for next year. And I'm just gonna let everybody know there's gonna be Apple Watch games.
Oh, fuck you!
And there's going to be mobile phone games, because on here I do have an Apple Watch game that I have been playing since I recently got my Apple Watch. And that was Rune Blade, which is basically just your standard, you know, put tokens in or not tokens in, but you can have it automatically do things as you add certain gems to your character and they can do it automatically. You just basically go, oh, I have this much gold. Okay, cool. Level up and keep fighting.
Oh my God.
If we're going to go straight games.
Real games. Game-ass games.
Just real game. Real games, not bullshit games, which I know it is. Fallout Shelter was a shit game.
Okay.
That had a lot of potential.
I'm on board.
And I really wanted to like it, but it just could not hold out.
Okay. You didn't want to buy hundreds and thousands of lunchboxes.
Yeah. Yep. The lunchbox, the buy-in was too good, too great.
Mm-hmm.
WWE Immortals and Mortal Kombat X are from the same, I think, mobile developer.
Mm-hmm.
Or the same.
Yeah, I think they are. The group, card-based kind of.
No, they weren't card-based.
Oh, were they?
Because Mortal Kombat X is just Mortal Kombat.
No. WWE Immortals was actually is a Mortal Kombat style fighting game on a cell phone. And then Mortal Kombat, I think it was done by the exact same.
Yeah, it's made by NetherRealm.
Does it play well?
NetherRealm, yeah.
NetherRealm makes both of these things.
Yes.
Yes.
And they both played very well for fighting games.
Oh, cool.
If I had to do it, it was actually really well done.
Yeah.
They were pretty good. But I'll tell you, Lara Croft Go and Downwell have to be like my top two.
Mm-hmm. Again, you can have as many nominees as you want if you can't.
And the other one that I played the most of out of everything here, I actually played more of You Must Build a Boat out of any of the games.
The game seems cool.
Yeah.
Because it was so much fun. I found myself draining at least 2 to 3 cell phone battery lengths worth of time while playing it. And that's
how
almost
big was
like
your boat.
It's almost max. I mean, pretty big. And so I would have to say between Lara Croft Go, You Must Build a Boat, and Downwell, my top three.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with Lara Croft Go based on.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah, that game seems rad.
Based on the gameplay and everything is pretty awesome.
Awesome. Yeah.
So
it's not the manga.
And then Downwell, and then You Must Build a Boat, because Downwell's aesthetics are on point.
Yeah.
You Must Build a Boat is a standard style match 3, you know, type thing, which is fun. Don't get me wrong. There's an addiction there with that. But Downwell is very unique for a what's the correct terminology? We're Western game developers, Eastern game developers,
mm-hmm.
Indie development.
Yeah,
Eastern development. Was Downwell, and they did a great job with that.
Right.
So yeah. That's cool. I'll have to get Downwell runner
apparently,
up.
And you must apparently, that thing's not running on a Vita.
Nice. That's awesome. I would buy that for Vita, Lara Croft Go. Which one are you talking about? Downwell or Lara Croft?
Downwell.
Oh, okay.
Downwell.
I need to look at that.
So mine was quick, and you know, I'm not
happy about that.
Pretty easy, but you know.
That's good.
I don't know if it's out.
We're
under
2 hours, so.
Just by the way, I don't know if it's out on Vita or coming to Vita. I just saw Shuhei Yoshida retweet a picture of a guy holding a Vita like vertically with Downwell on it.
Nice. That's cool. All right. Sweet. All right. So that's our topics for today. I called being under 3 hours, and we're well under 3 hours, so I'm happy. So just to rehash what we've gone through, we've got worst trend. Nominations are Telltale Game Series, X, we have fucking an hour to go. X, a Telltale Game Series. Misleading marketing.
Wait, are we seeking to fill the 3 hours?
No, we're not. It's half past midnight.
Yeah,
I'm just going to read out the nominees, because some of the cases, the nominees are actually really important. So X, a Telltale Game Series, misleading marketing, and the winner being, for worst trend of 2015, indie open world survival games that never really
I own four answers. Of them from just this year.
most infuriating business decision of the year. Nominees are lowballing crowdfunding goals, augmenting your pre-order, and paying for mods. The winner is Konami. All of it.
All of it.
Best trend so in 2015. The resurgence and doubling down on style. Valve online refunds. Big press conferences, but the best trend of 2015 is short marketing cycles, an example being Fallout. Best use of a licensed song. Nominees are Life is Strange and Tales from the Borderlands, but the winner is Hideo Kojima Presents a Hideo Kojima Game, Metal Gear Solid 5. That's pretty good. Biggest disappointment. Runners-up are Fallout 4 and Guild Wars 2 Heart of Thorns. Winner is Evolve, the game none of us remembered. Best looking game. best looking game, the nominees are, or runners up are, Life is Strange, Star Wars Battlefront, and Bloodborne. But the winner is The Witcher 3. And best performance, Contradiction, Spotted Liar, and Tales from the Borderlands make up the runners up. And Witcher 3 wins. Witcher is actually doing pretty well, I think, in the big categories. Yeah, in the big categories. Yep. Worst game we played this year, we didn't pick a winner because everyone loses, but everybody's gone to the Rapture and Her Story both suck. Doubleton's top indie game of the year is Kerbal Space Program with runners up being Contradiction and Rocket League. And then finally, Squiddle's top mobile game of the year is Lara Croft Go with runners up being You Must Build a Boat and Downwell.
Yep.
And that's it for the day. Thanks for hanging out, you guys. That was fun.
That's good.
Yep.
So next week,
to you guys in a while.
Yeah. Next week, we got Game of the Year for everyone who can make it. Hopefully, everyone here can make it.
Next week, we're going to be cutting throats.
Nice.
We are going to be cutting throats, Squiddle, when you and I and our usual third discuss our annual music picks.
Oh, yes.
Nice. Nice. So where is that going up?
Time,
where can people find that? Do you want us to host that here? Or
I think it'll probably be on the same feed.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we can host that here. Happy with that.
Because I think we'll be recording it before we record next week.
Sweet. Yeah, so there'll be what's the actual name of this podcast?
I believe the name we used last time was Headbangers Baller Time.
Sweet. and that's a music. Like music of the year kind of show from these two, and
it's mostly metal. But this year, there's a lot of weird stuff that I listen to. Nice.
Yeah, I will have some things that are not metal based this year. Definitely.
Me too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And we'll be following that up with the topics for next week. And these are some preliminary topics. We might add more. Our biggest gaming news of the year: best multiplayer, best cinematography, best soundtrack, game with the most impact/best moment, game with the most illogical plot, best narrative, biggest surprise, game we wish we'd played, and game of the year. That's next week, at a minimum. So, see you then. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Yep.
And plugs for anyone?
One last thing.
Yep.
I mean, you can cut this after you said goodbye. It's fine. This is just a promo. Do you want to do like a 2015's 2014 game of the year?
That's sure. Because I'd be arguing for Destiny. So, yes, sure.
Oh God, Destiny!
Yeah, how is that?
No, I don't want to do that anymore. Or we could just do it like they just do old game of the year.
Yeah, we can do old game.
How about like old game of the century? Or decade? Old game of the decade?
Old game of the year. It'd just be old like game of the year. Like
old game of the year.
It'd just be like your favorite game that didn't come out this year that you played a bunch of this year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's good. I'm happy to do that because I think I've played something this year. That was old. That was fantastic.
Now,
Final Fantasy X.
If I'm not mistaken, Broforce, did that come out this year? Or did they have like a? Was it just a release
or
something?
Last year, I think.
Wait,
that was last year.
Was it this year or was it the beginning of this year? I think it was the beginning of last year actually, where I did my whole big write up on Final Fantasy XII.
Man, Final Fantasy XII was good.
I want to add a
Final
category
Fantasy XII is
for
bad.
That's fair.
Final Fantasy XII,
I'll accept
international Zodiac job system is good.
Yeah, thank you. All right, good. That's what I meant.
You can read it. It's on giantbomb.com. I did a whole big blog post about how I hate vanilla Final Fantasy XII, but love the international version.
Man. I want to know for people listening, because I'm still rolling, that we won't be talking about news, even though a lot of news happened, and I'd recommend listening to the Giant Bomb guys and the Game Trailers guys. We want good wrap-ups of the news that happened in the last couple of weeks.
I bought a Steam controller last night.
Yeah, a friend of mine bought a Steam controller. I don't know.
Give
why.
Me first quick impressions, then we wrap it up. Come on, quick impressions. We want to wrap up the show. What you got? Steam.
Actually, no. Two people that own Steam controllers.
Do you like it?
I don't have it yet.
Oh, you just ordered it. Okay.
I ordered it in a drunken stupor. I ordered it last night.
Awesome. Okay, so hopefully we get some impressions on that next week. I'm just actually curious to see what you think.
And the reason I got it is because it states that it works well with the Mac laptop that I have. So if I need to go mobile, it seems to work flawlessly and supported 100%, where both the Microsoft and the PS4 aren't fully really. So fair. I don't know. I thought, why not? It wouldn't hurt to have it in my backpack. So
Shimbo 630 plugs.
Hold on. I'll pick one album out of all the ones from this year.
Okay.
Just because we were talking about it before we started recording. Group called Sunset in the 12th House. Nice. They're sort of like a, I think on their Bandcamp, they call it psychedelic post-rock.
Ooh.
It's mostly instrumental sort of prog rock, post-rock. It's very good reading music.
Nice.
So there you go.
Okay. Squiddle.
I'm going to have to give a shout out once again to Blue Microphone Company. I recently purchased their Blue Baby Bottle microphone with their Icicle XLR adapter to USB. And that's what you are hearing me on now during this entire recording. So,
wait, also, so coming back to me if I'm doing something other than other than music, I started watching Critical Role, and that's real good.
What is that?
A bunch of it is on Geek and Sundry. It is a Geek and Sundry thing.
Okay.
It is a D&D game where it's all voice actors.
Oh wow, that sounds like
fucking great. I am
well known voice actors. The DM is Matt Mercer.
Whoa,
okay.
Knows
him.
Yeah, everyone knows
and,
Matt Mercer.
Liam O'Brien plays, Laura Bailey plays, her husband, I forgot his name, he plays. So it's a whole bunch of voice actors.
That's,
it's
that
real
sounds
good.
Freaking great. That sounds absolutely
yeah,
great.
It's all on the first 20-something episodes, which mm-hmm. they're like 3 hours each, are on Geek & Sundry's YouTube channel.
Damn.
And then the rest are on YouTube. They're sort of private, so to get to them, you just have to go to Geek & Sundry's site.
Oh, right. Nice. Awesome. That's actually really good. I really like watching D&D. D&D is fun to watch in general.
Oh, yeah.
Is it 5th Ed or is it a different program?
It's 5e that it's not new characters though. They've been right. having this campaign for a while. It's 5e ported from Pathfinder.
Okay, awesome. That makes sense to other people, but it makes sense to me.
A few of us in this group may or may not have a D&D campaign based on the wonderful works of Gloryhammer coming up.
That's not going to happen.
I'm going to make sure that happens because now that you mentioned that, we're going to have that happen.
Wait, I am more than up for playing a D&D campaign live. That sounds fantastic. Why not? I don't care. Anyway, New Barama plugs.
PC Gaming Hub. Mm-hmm. If you're one of the three people that bought Rainbow Six Siege, you can play it with us there. Yeah.
Cool. Squiddle.
I did mine. Blue Yeti. Blue Mics.
Blue Mics. But yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Well, I just finally, really breaking it in right now. So
it sounds really nice. Sounds really nice, but I think Noob had a massive brain fart when he realized, but he didn't plug what I'm going to plug, because I've forgotten the name of it, but he would know off the top of his head. I think it's Red Letter Media.
Red Letter Media. Oh yeah.
Oh, God, yes. Oh man.
Red Letter Media's reviews
for some reason has not seen Mr. Plinkett's Star Wars reviews. He does a bunch of other reviews for movies, and on their site. They do a bunch of in-depth analysis of in terms of movie reviews of new theater releases.
Yeah.
And they have a thing called Best of the Worst, where they watch really bad movies and break them down. And it's awesome.
And so Mr. Plinkett essentially does 1.5 hour long interviews of each of the first three Star Wars movies. By first three, I mean 1, 2, and 3, not 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. And they have been the salve that cures us after finishing watching one of those fucking Star Wars movies. And as a note, we watched 1 and 2 yesterday. And without those without those reviews at the end of them, we would not have made it. We would not have made it through those fucking movies. They were so that fucking bad. Oh my God.
So I want to tell a story that I thought was funny. So we ended up watching this, and during the process, I had gone through a 6-pack of Golden Monkey beer.
Oh, this is yesterday. You're talking about yesterday. Yeah.
Yesterday. And then I ended up drinking a half a bottle of rum. And I thought in my glorious wonder that I'm going to grab my laptop, which I'm watching this on, and on Skype, and go into the bedroom, and just lay on the bed and chill, Halfway through watching the Red Letter Media, I pass out, and I know I had just started watching the third iteration from the second one. Second movie, and I don't know what happened. I just passed out and I woke up and I had one earphone in my ear and the laptop was still open and it was very disorienting.
That's funny.
So, that was very interesting.
It's good because he just kind of went silent. Because the beauty, again, talking about last week with playing games with each other, me and Noob and then invited Squiddle later decided to watch all of Star Wars together. So syncing timestamps.
I don't know if I can finish this thing, project. I don't know if I
can. Oh, come on.
We can. It's just one movie to go. Fuck you. We just got one more movie.
I mean, I think I can finish the prequels. Okay, I don't think I can watch all of the fucking...
Oh, right. Yeah. We'll see. I'm going to do it before Wednesday or whatever it was where the actual movie comes out, because I got the midnight session. I want to get the actual canon in my head. I want to forget everything from the games, forget everything from the books. I just want to know what the actual canon is, and that's why I'm reading... watching all the movies back to back. But yeah, watch movies with your friends. Even though it's kind of almost recreating the couch experience with people on Skype while watching your movie. And you have the bonus of not having to look at their ugly faces, and also being able to alt tab if you're really, really bored. So
I hate watching movies with other people.
Depends on the movie, right?
I can only rewatch a movie. I don't like watching a movie for the first time with other people, but rewatching it, I like watching it with other people.
If it's a bad movie,
it has to be a bad movie.
If I'm gonna go totally like cynical on a movie and just tear it apart,
yeah, then with
friends. I would love to watch it with someone. Yeah,
yes,
that would be fun.
But if I was watching like the Lord of the Rings for the first time, I would want to watch that alone.
I wouldn't want to watch like something that good unless it's like a comedy.
I think that we should watch the Twilight episodes.
Oh my god, I haven't seen the last two, so I'm down for that, Squiddle. If it's just you and me, I probably won't.
I've never watched any of them, and I would love
to watch the Twilight movies.
Yeah, let's do that.
Haven't seen the last two, is what?
Yeah, I've watched the other side movies.
The shocking thing is you've seen the first four.
I've said on the podcast when I've seen the Twilight movies as well. Like, I've been pretty forward with my watching of the Twilight movies.
Fucking crazy.
I haven't seen any of them, and I would love to just...
You haven't missed anything. Like, you haven't missed nothing.
Like, the most miserable part about these movies isn't... Like, they're frustrating, but they're just so fucking boring, the Star Wars movies. The prequels
Before we go on to talk about the prequel movies more, next week we might have a little thing for anyone who's watched the new Star Wars movie, the J.J. Abrams episode 7, I guess it's called.
I'll be going to see it in the afternoon before we record at night.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll be seeing it on Wednesday, I think is when it comes out.
Yep, I'm watching Midnight Session Wednesday, so absolutely, we can do a quick show before the real show and have a spoiler.
I'm doing like 6 hours of podcast.
Wednesday, I'll be watching it with the EMC Corporation Company. Nice. is throwing a learn about our new platforms and watch Star Wars movie after you get done with that. So we're doing that for my work hours with my boss.
Boring businessy shit and then Star Wars.
Yep. I really hope it's good. Man, fuck it.
And with that, thank you for listening this week. See you next week for Game of the Year.